Good morning, everybody. Matt Pavala here with you on 720 WGN. It's 106 a.m. and we're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, high above the river and overlooking Lake Michigan. Good morning, Roger Badish.
Good morning, Mr. Matt Pavala. How are you?
I'm good, sir.
Excellent.
When you dial or text 312-981-7200, if you call, you might hear the voice of Jess Rain. She's behind the glass for us tonight, hanging out all night long. After, Roger, you know, I don't know if you watch Fox locally, Fox 32.
Not really.
I think the only time we have it on is during football. And the Bears games are mostly on Fox 32.
Right.
So you have seen, if you have watched any football at all, ad nauseum over the last few months, it seems like forever, for like half a year now, ads for this stupid The Masked Singer.
Yes, please don't make me sick by talking about it or that you saw it.
Well, be ready.
No, I'm turning my headphones off right
be
now.
Be ready for a rough night, Roger, because coming up after your 1:30 a.m. news,
Please don't.
Lorraine Ali is the TV critic for the L.A. Times. She's going to jump on the phone because she wrote a very amusing review of the show. And because she was coming on, I thought, well, now I got to watch it.
And you watched it.
So we watched the first episode.
Yeah.
It is so stupid and bad and awful, and we will be watching again next week.
Oh, no.
Because now I want to know who these stupid people are.
I can't lower my brain to that level.
Oh, you can.
No.
Bring it down.
I got tired of American Idol after like the fourth season.
You know what's funny?
I just couldn't take it anymore.
I can't remember how many seasons American Idol went that first run before it went off the air.
I
don't remember.
It was 10 years,
It 10? And it was a ratings juggernaut.
Yes.
For like 7 or 8 of those years.
Yep.
It wasn't into, and there was a time I thought, God, this is just going to go on forever. This is like, you know, there's new people every year.
Well, they started to change the judges, and that's where it went down.
They did go away. So it was Randy, Paula, and Simon forever.
Right.
And then what happened? Was it Simon that first left?
Simon first left,
okay.
And then Randy left, and
then Paula left?
Paula left, and they had...
Are you sure they all left the first show?
Yes. And then towards the end, it was just three of the most god-awful...
Are you sure you're not thinking about when it came back?
No. Towards the end of it, they had these... these new stars, new singing stars to me. All right, I'm old. All right, I get it. I'm old.
Well,
I don't remember a lot of these.
The Voice came along and that kind of became the hot show.
Right, which I still don't watch that because
I don't
get it. And it's premise.
What do you not get?
The premise is stupid. So you win, you get a coach. They try to coach you to beat the other people, but then to beat the people on your own team so that one person is left standing. I'm like, no.
Okay.
It's you're battling against your own teammates and only one. It's still the same show.
One winner. 608 texts that The Masked Singer is better than The Gong Show.
Well, I don't watch the new Gong Show either.
Is there a new Gong Show?
Oh, yes.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. You mean all you remember is the old one?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, the old one was awesome.
I guess I've seen bits, little tiny bits of the old
one. Was awesome because you knew it was
corny
a joke.
As hell.
It was corny. It was great. Mean Gene, the dancing machine. Oh, it was fantastic. The new one is hosted by Saturday Night Live guy. He's done movies. He did Yeah Baby. He did a British spy, the British secret agent from the 60s. And he's in makeup as the host of the new Gong Show. And it's stupid. It's stupid.
Well, so the mask, we'll get into the mask after 1:30. I won't make you suffer a whole hour of this because you're going to suffer a half hour of it. Lorraine, who writes from the LA Times, she wrote a great piece about it. So I'm interested to talk to her about it and about hopefully some other shows as well.
Okay.
So,
because, you know, this is the time of year where a lot of shows like go on hiatus, like they're mid-season end, right before the holidays.
Isn't it so interesting that, you know, just 10 years ago, even, I don't even have to go say when we were kids and there were three channels or anything like that. Just 10 years ago,
yeah.
Let's say, Show started in the fall when the kids got back into school, ran through 22, 24 episodes pretty much to the spring.
Boom.
A week off here and there.
Yeah.
Now there's the winter finale and then the spring return and the spring finale.
Right.
And they separate those shows out so much. And there's so few really good shows. And it's so curious
to
me.
You know who did that? You know who started that trend? Fox.
Yeah. With what?
Fox used to come in with late shows. In other words, they would have shows that wouldn't start until like January.
Well,
February.
I feel like whoever hosts the Super Bowl generally has some big show they want to show after that because of the huge audience,
right.
Things like that. But it's so funny to me that here Fox spent. I mean, if you think about all the ads they ran during those football games, that has to be millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of ads,
right?
You know, it's their own time, whatever. But they could have put that on something else,
right?
And here. What are we mostly talking about? People are talking about people are talking about like The Bird Box or all these other shows.
And it's
it's on Netflix. But why doesn't a network produce something really, really good instead that people will watch and talk about?
Yeah.
And then that'll drive people because
they did
really good programming. Think about it. When I talk to Lorraine in 20 minutes, will we talk about more than one show on network TV that she's raving about?
No.
Probably not. Maybe.
No.
What has been a show that people talk about on network television the last couple of years? This Is Us? Is there anything else that people are like, oh, you know what? You've got to see.
No.
We've got to watch. We've got to talk. Other than This Is Us, I can't think of anything.
No, the majority of the critically acclaimed stuff is now on cable or satellite.
Oh, and it has been for a while.
Right. Now, I will tell you, you remember the program Roots?
Yes.
Okay.
The miniseries. And that's basically what cable TV and these streaming services are now. They come out with these, they call them short run or limited series, a limited event series.
Right. But that used to be the case on regular TV when we only had like four or five channels.
Yeah.
And there was no such thing as satellite or cable in the big cities. You had cable in markets where they couldn't receive TV signals. That's how cable got started. Okay, so you had to go like Rich Man, Poor Man. That was a TV event. That won a ton of awards. Roots
is the only one that I remember.
Winds of War.
Oh, the Winds of War.
The Thornbirds. These were big, regular, over-the-air antenna TV.
Yeah.
And I don't mean antenna TV, the classic TV stuff now.
Right.
But those are the shows that used to air that people would...
During sweeps, when
they
sweeps,
would, yes, and that would be appointment TV.
Yeah,
we have not seen that in. I'll go with your 10 years.
Yeah, now, what's being talked about is something that's on cable or limited run, and generally things that you can binge all at once,
like what we're doing with Mrs. Maisel.
I think the only
the
only appointment TV I would say that. Isn't, and even like The Walking Dead, which was such a big deal for a few years.
Right.
Now, Kelly and I watched first couple episodes this year. Now we haven't even watched it all. We're way behind in that. We're way behind in this.
But I think that happens with any TV show.
It does eventually.
I think it's
part of
being the beast.
You're
on
for so long. It's going to eventually.
Exactly.
But like HBO shows, Game of Thrones.
Right.
You know, you got to wait week to week to that. That's going to be like a year and a half before that comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll be a week to week wait. HBO has a new True Detective series coming out, I think, starting this Sunday. And True Detective has had two limited runs, just completely new characters, completely new stories.
Oh.
But one of them was really critically acclaimed. The other one wasn't so much.
Mm-hmm.
But they were very interesting. And, what did they do last summer? Gone Girl. With Amy Adams. It was on HBO. It wasn't Gone Girl.
Handmaid's Tale?
No. That's Hulu, which I've never... And so it's so interesting. I've never seen Handmaid's Tale. I've read all about it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see it, but I'm not spending money on another different stupid streaming service.
I understand. Now, here's the deal.
When
today,
that show comes to something else, then I'll watch it.
So today, we got a package in the mail. Season 2 of The Handmaid's Tale.
Do you have season 1?
No. We didn't get that last year or whenever it came out.
Yeah, I guess that could be rented.
And so I looked to Bridget. I go, now, here's what I've heard about this. Of course, me thinking that, I know all about this being in the business, and
sure,
she doesn't.
Sure.
And she goes, well, yeah, I read the first book.
So that is based
really?
On books?
She says, yeah, I didn't care much for it.
Oh.
I go, okay.
Well, that's too bad.
All right, whatever. Yeah. So it's, you know, we got wife, movie wife. We got that in. And I says, you've seen this already, haven't you? She says, yeah, it was okay. So, like, so we don't, there's not that much really that she and I agree on, except maybe some of the old British comedies like we talked about, or Mrs. Maisel. She really loves that.
Yeah, I got to give that a shot. And but you know what? The ads for that don't get me excited about it. Like, I really want to watch it, but you watch a 30-second ad for it that they're showing all the time. I'm like, eh,
I don't. I've not seen the ads. I'm telling you, if you, it's a retro type show because it takes place in the 60s, and it has so many unique and well drawn characters in the show, mm-hmm, that it is sometimes side slapping funny. Mm. If you're into that kind of stuff, it's not Three Stooges slapstick comedy,
right?
But it's so rapid fire with the dialogue and the reactions, and it's just perfect. Now, here's, I'm not saying that you have to be Jewish to watch it, but
I would hope you're not.
Well, no, because
very exclusionary of you.
No, because, I mean, Bridget's not.
I'm just joking.
Though she's been married to me for almost 43 years.
She's honorary at this point, at the very least, isn't she?
Yes.
A woman of the tribe, right?
Yeah, she's getting close.
Wow, man, that's a tough hazing process.
Well, you
43
know,
years, you're getting there.
Everyone,
you're getting
you
there.
Know. But
we're still thinking about you.
It's under advisement. Mm. But even if you are not, everything you may have imagined about well-to-do Jewish families in New York in the 60s will probably have you laughing your butt off.
And that's in The Fabulous Mrs. Maisel, the wonderful, what is it, the something Mrs. Maisel.
The Marvelous Mrs.
Maisel.
Marvelous
Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah. And there's two seasons out. The second season is funnier than the first.
Well, that's good.
And the first was hilarious.
And did you guys watch Homecoming yet?
No.
Why do I ask you to do one thing and you refuse? Why?
Not refuse.
Why?
We just don't have the time.
Oh, stop it. One half
right, listen
hour
to me.
To
start listen
it.
To me.
You've had a week.
10:45 last night. I get home from bowling. Thursday night. I get home from bowling. And I said, honey, you think we got time to watch an episode?
Well, that's late.
And she stays up till 1 o'clock. Okay. I was staying up till
all
2.
Right. All right. Well, then why didn't you watch one?
I know. She looked at the clock. She says, what time is it? And I go, 10:45. It's late. I want to read my book.
Well, that's day 7. I saw you a week ago. You've had other nights.
I know.
You don't bowl every single night.
No, we don't.
All right.
But she's
this
been out.
This is your assignment.
I know. Homecoming.
One half hour. It's like a half hour episode. I think it's like 6 to 8 episodes, half hour each. I just want to see if
what channel? What channel?
It's on Prime. This is why I've assigned it to you, because I know that you will watch it because it's on Prime.
Okay. Yes,
okay.
I have Prime.
By next week, I'm interested to see what you think.
I'm going to have to mark this down now.
312-981-7200. Interested in your comments and texts as well. If there's a show you want to recommend or want us to ask Lorraine Ali about from the LA Times when she comes on after the news, we'd be happy to do that as well. Lots to do over the next 4 hours. Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. It's Matt Bubala with you here. Happy Saturday morning to you. Happy Saturday morning after New Year's Eve. Raj, you know, often when I'm driving in, I drive the old Guth gauntlet. I don't know if any of you that used to listen to Amy Guth, when Amy Guth used to live in River North.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And she would do a Saturday night show, and then she would walk home, mm-hmm, and she would call it the Guth gauntlet because she'd be walking by basically all the bars in River North. Mm-hmm. And she would tweet the funniest stories about people falling over in the street, having the stupidest arguments you have when you're drunk with your boyfriend or girlfriend, all that stuff.
Sure.
And so basically I drive a sort of reverse Guth gauntlet where I'm coming through River North to get over here. And I pass Underground, which is, I don't know if it's still one of the hotter
mole
bars. Or, what?
Oh, I thought you meant you were down on the lower level.
No.
Underground,
there's
a bar
called Underground.
Stay with us, old timer.
I thought you were talking about Laura Wacker.
No, even young Jess thought I was talking about Lower Wacker.
There you go.
I'm confusing to all ages. There's a bar called Underground. And when the weather is nice in the summer, and it's right across the street from the fire department.
That's
over there in River North. And those guys must just love it because they just sit out in the chairs and watch the humanity walk by. Because when it's hot out, and that's the type of place where every woman has pretty much the least amount of clothing on as possible, it seems like, as they're walking in. And then the lines outside are insane and everything like that. Okay. Tonight, there were barely any people out at any of the bars. And I wonder if this is like the worst night of the year for the bars, the worst Friday night of the year for the bars, and the Saturday, because people are just partied out. You know, you had Christmas, and then you had New Year's,
right?
And that's probably a big overdue at night. And so I wonder if the Friday after that, people are like, you know what? We're staying in this one Friday night at the
least. They probably don't have any money left.
Well, that could be true, too. That's very possible, and that makes sense. But you know, it's nice weather out for being out for a Friday night in January. So you would think if there's a night that people are like, heck, let's get out, it would be tonight. And I would have thought that there'd be more people maybe in town still kind of vacationing and stuff like that.
The only people I think that would be in town would be those coming in for the football game. I would imagine.
That's right. There's probably a lot of Eagles fans coming to
town. Shh.
Forgot about that.
Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah.
That's going to be... What do you think about that? Are you nervous about that? My son, Michael, who's gotten... You know, he's 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So the last time the Bears were in the playoffs, I believe he was 5.
Okay.
So he doesn't really remember it.
Right.
But so he is just so excited.
Really?
We went to... this year, the first Bears game of the year was up at Lambeau. And we went.
Oh, right,
and
right,
and
right.
I took Jack, was kind of a gift, and we had an extra ticket, so Michael came with. And he's just been very into the Bears all year. Really got a Tariq Cohen jersey for Christmas, and he's just loving it. And he is so nervous about Sunday. Yes. And I don't blame him, because like the Eagles suddenly are the hottest team again going into the stupid playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Michael's homeroom teacher, Michael Anna and Tommy's homeroom teacher this year, is Mr. Marlin at our school.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Marlin grew up somewhere... I don't know if he grew up in Philly or where he grew up, but like last year for Christmas, I think we got him an Eagles hat, a winter cap and stuff. And they won the Super Bowl last year. We were very happy for him.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's our mortal enemy.
Well, of course.
Yeah. And he was talking some smack earlier this year saying the Bears wouldn't make the playoffs. Yeah. So now it's like, and this game happens Sunday late afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Next morning, they're back in school.
Right.
So either the teacher is going to be crabby as hell, or at least one student in this classroom is going to be. I'm not sure which.
Or there may be some students even not showing up.
I don't know if there's any seventh graders at St. Catharines who are taking it that hard that they're not coming to school the next day.
You never know.
Hopefully they're not out partying or anything. I think they'll be okay. It's relatively tame class.
Okay.
I'm looking ahead at our schedule. So every winter, now I start my mini travel. See, I don't travel a lot for work at Black Dog, but with Steve Dale, we go to some veterinary conferences and do a lot of work for our sponsors and things like that. And the it's called VMX now. It's the North American Veterinary Conference. It's called VMX now. It's in Orlando, which is nice. I get to go to Orlando every January.
Oh, that is nice.
Last couple of years, they had switched it. It was Super Bowl weekend. We would be in Florida, which worked out cool because we're there and somebody throw a big party in would be kind of fun. But this year, it moved back to its old time, which is 2 weeks earlier. So it's the weekend of the two championship games, the AFC and NFC.
Oh.
And so I'm making out our calendar and seeing where we're going to be and starting to set up the Steve's interviews and our meetings with sponsors, all these things that we do.
Right.
And we have a lunch that we have to go to at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
No.
On the Sunday.
No.
And I'm looking at the NFL schedule, and if the Bears make it to the NFC Championship, I will be stuck in a meeting.
Oh, no.
During the game. And there's nothing. I like can't be like, oh, let's blow this off. If it was a different sponsor, they'd totally be cool. But this sponsor, it's very important to us. We got to work some things out. So I got to be, not only do I have to be there, I have to be engaged in the meeting. And like, you know, I can't just go, okay, all right, yeah, sounds good. All right, let's talk about it, you know,
here's a suggestion.
But I got to actually.
Yeah, Matt, here's a suggestion.
So you keep your little phone.
Please.
Keep your phone on the inside pocket of your jacket,
mm-hmm.
have it tuned to like whatever channel is broadcasting the game. Mm-hmm. Run a little earplug up behind your jacket, up around your ear, and into your ear. And keep it just low enough so you can hear, so that nobody else can hear.
What happens if I scream during the meeting for no particular reason?
Then you just, you scream and you follow it up with this phrase. That's a great idea.
Oh, God! That's a good idea.
Thank you. See?
Damn it! I love that idea. Things like that?
Yeah, I like it.
Why? Don't we do more of that? Things like that. You might be onto something. Let's get back to this. Let's get back to this. We got to do the
news. How could you miss an opportunity like that?
Off the crossbar again! Why? Don't we talk about this another time? Parky, you suck! That's my dog's name, and he just peed on the floor, I heard. Tips for getting through a meeting. Here goes. There he goes again. All right. Reset. Reset and settle. It is 1:30 in the morning. Lorena Lee from the LA Times, she's a TV critic, is going to join us after Roger gives us some news headlines. 312-981-7200 is the number. Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. Lorena Lee is the TV critic for the LA Times, and she jumps on the phone with us right now. Hey, Lorraine, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for staying up late with us. We appreciate it. I know it's a Friday night in L.A. and it's after New Year's, and I imagine you're resettling in for the long slog of spring television.
Yeah, there's a lot coming up. So, yes, for sure. And also Golden Globes this Sunday. So
that's
I'm going to be looking at that as well.
Yeah, it's so crazy. I just saw something on Twitter earlier tonight about Jessica Chastain. And is it Sam Rockwell who's the other host? Jessica, and I forget who the gentleman is, but that's the first I know the nominations came out a few weeks ago, but I didn't even realize that show was already on this Sunday. It seems like it's...
Yeah, it crept up kind of fast. And it's always interesting because it, you know, comes before the big, obviously the Oscars, and it kind of gives you an idea of like what might be, you know, a big deal at the Oscars, but it also includes television, so I'm interested in it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It will be. And to me, it's always... the best award show. It's a little looser, it encompasses TV and film, and it's just a more relaxed state. And I find that to be the most enjoyable of the programs. You feel the same way, or is there something else that strikes you better?
No, I agree. You know, I like it because I think it doesn't take itself as seriously as the Oscars does. And I think just in terms of film, it's not quite as, I would say, like, it doesn't worship film quite as much as the Oscars does. It is a little looser. And I think now, you know, in particular, it's a more interesting time because, you know, celebrities are kind of speaking out, not just politically, but about a lot of different things. And they can kind of do that at the Golden Globes, whereas the Oscars, not quite as much. So it makes for a more interesting show.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think that because television has gotten so good, too, it's oddly more of a level playing field, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we're in such a great era of television right now. And in many ways, you know, I'm a little biased because I'm a television critic, but I do think it's more interesting than film right now. I think you just have so many different levels of experimentation in TV, but also of like really good mainstream stuff. You know, there was something... Bandersnatch on Netflix, which is an interactive thing. I mean, there's just so much to choose from right now on television and so many different types of programming and so many different platforms. I really think it's got like a lot of energy in it right now that maybe film just doesn't have as much of right now. So, yeah, I mean, for sure, it makes the Golden Globes even more interesting to me.
Yes, it does. which makes it ironic that what I originally found you and called you about is a show called The Masked Singer on Fox. And it's funny because I had kind of forgotten about it a little bit. I didn't watch it when it premiered. I only know so much about it because Fox went insane this whole basically fall advertising the damn thing every 20 seconds during the football games. So you couldn't have, if you watched Fox at all, and I imagine it was the same thing with the regular programming, the promos were endless. And I thought January would never get here so that I'd finally stop seeing them. But here we are finally, and the show has premiered, and it's basically American Idol meets Dancing with the Stars. Or maybe these are celebrities who couldn't get on Dancing with the Stars. I don't know quite what to make of exactly what happens here, but it's a singing competition with celebrities who are covered up. They're in costumes, so you don't know who they are. And then they compete against each other. And there were six celebrities. There's three face-offs then. And during the face-off, these two sing. And then the audience votes real quick on who should be able to stay. So three of them get saved before the end of the show. We get to the bottom three. And then one is kicked off the show. And that person has to reveal themselves. And it was, you write about this, but it was all through while you're watching these promos all along, you see the judges and who could it be? Is that Lady Gaga? And even when you're watching the promos, you're thinking, God, what happened to Lady Gaga? From a probable Oscar nomination to from A Star Is Born to The Masked Singer? I'm guessing not, unless, you know, did she marry a producer on the show? How would that even be possible? And so they're naming a lot of A-ish list people who you think, well, why would that person ever be on the show? And the thought is they wouldn't, right? I mean, I just can't imagine we're going to get some big name here that's going to give us a wow factor before this thing is over, are we?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, the whole thing of, you know, you're right about the promos for it. They just went on forever, and they built up this show like, you know, it is going to be this thing where Beyonce might be behind that hippo mask, you know, and they have these absurd outfits. You know, they had, you know, a peacock and a hippo, or a unicorn and a monster. And they come out singing, and they do covers of songs, you know, like Queen's Don't Stop Me or whatever it is. And, you know, you're supposed to, and it's funny, they have a celebrity panel, you know, guessing who's under there. And the celebrity panel is also, like, very B-list.
Yeah.
You know, like Jenny McCarthy.
Robin Thicke, Jenny McCarthy, Ken Jeong, and then Nicole Scherzinger from Pussycat Dolls. She's actually musically inclined, and so is Robin. And then Jenny McCarthy, I have no idea how she fits into this. And then Ken Jeong is there to try to make it funny at some points, right?
Yeah, I know, and we have Nick Cannon is the host, and so okay, there's some music talent on there, but. You know, it's just the whole idea of, you know, the singing competition to start with, American Idol, The Voice. Okay, it was, to me, as somebody who had been a music critic in the past, it was a little questionable, but I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, people like to see talent contests. But this is like, now the costume, I mean, maybe showing my age, but it's like H.R. Puffin stuff meets American Idol. The costumes are horrible.
Lorraine, I got to tell you, one of my favorite parts so far is the costumes. Just because it's so stupid. I love the deer. There's a deer like in a gas mask or something like that. It's like the craziest thing. It's weird. It's apocalyptic.
It was very apocalyptic looking. The deer was kind of frightening.
Yes.
The unicorn was completely colorless and a clinical white, which I thought was really frightening. And there is something like a little spooky about those costumes. But I think the idea of, you know, this show is based on something I think that started in Asia, maybe South Korea. And it kind of, you know, a lot of these reality competitions are things that are adapted from overseas competitions.
Right.
This is one of those. And, you know, I think it is brilliant in the way that you're going to constantly keep the audience coming back because they do want to know, okay, is that going to be Madonna under there? Is it going to be Madonna under there?
I know. The judges all take guesses and then they put up the pictures. And I wonder if the celebrities who are being guests are like, why? You're not paying me to use my name. Get my picture off this show. I guess they're allowed to do that, but it seems weird, you know, when they're putting up somebody famous who would be like, I would never be on this show. Don't degrade me by putting my photo up there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when they, it was interesting too, you know, Nick Cannon said anybody could be under there, maybe even someone I was married to.
Right.
And they showed a picture of Mariah Carey. I'm like, wow, they're, you know, they're kind of willing to do anything to keep, you know, viewers guessing and the ratings up. And the ratings were really high
for
the first show.
Crazy.
And
did it have some great lead-in? Was it after like a big football game or something?
Oh, yeah, that I don't know. That's not my... I'm sorry, football's
no,
not my jam.
That's okay. You wrote in the article, it's the top-rated series premiere of 2018-19 so far, tying This Is Us's season opener with 9.4 million viewers. And while that's not, right. 20 years ago, that would be a pretty small number. But right now, in the landscape of television, how many different ways our eyeballs go, that's a big number. And it will be fascinating to see. Now, I think it was awful. I didn't like it. The singing is bad. Their voices. And then when they talk to them, their voices are modulated, so you can't figure out who they are. It's just a very odd, goofy thing. The judges aren't very appealing to keep you watching. It's not like the old days of American Idol with Simon and Paula and Randy and stuff. So there's not a lot there yet. Yet, Lorraine, I know that I'm going to watch this damn thing next week because I am guessing at who the B-list people are. And I'm telling you what, I am convinced I know who one of them is. I'm absolutely convinced that crazy gas mask deer is Terry Bradshaw.
Okay. I think there was a guess of that. I'm not sure. I can't remember, but...
I don't think I heard that. At least during the show, I don't think I heard somebody guess that. But they knew he was older. He seemed bigger, an athlete. And just his voice, I feel like you could hear this little twang that you hear when he speaks. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not. But that's my guess. Now it's going to keep me watching the dumb thing. Plus, he works for Fox, so there would be a tie in there.
Well, that's true. And I think, on the show also, what they do is they give a little clue, a little short video clip that's called The Clues or something. And they... talk about, kind of give hints as to who they are under the mask in that, modulated strange voice. So I think the clues that were given by the peacock point to Donny Osmond. Okay, that is my guess.
Okay. That's interesting, and that makes sense, right? Because you have to think about it. You name somebody, and then you think, okay, now would they do this show? Like, there was somebody that said, I forget if it's the line or who it was, somebody said, you could call me Hollywood royalty. So then I'm like, okay, Hollywood royalty. Maybe this is Tori Spelling because she comes from a fan, blah, 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 desperate for money, always going through issues. This would make sense for her to be on this show because they were guessing Paris Hilton on somebody. I'm like, Paris Hilton would not do this. I don't care how disappeared she has been recently.
If the money was right.
Well, I just can't imagine the money is that right because you also have to weigh it against your brand. And I would think this hurts your brand if you're Paris Hilton, even if you're Paris Hilton.
I don't think so. The show is goofy enough.
Yeah, I don't know that people...
And I'm not a Paris Hilton fan.
My guess is your agent says, listen, Dancing with the Stars isn't going to happen. Here's another option. Lorraine, is that a fair assessment?
Here's option D.
Yeah, basically like, yeah.
I want to put on a hippo mask.
Yeah.
And they've done this show before. The show has been done before.
Well, Lorraine it's a knockoff of, where was it from?
I think it started in South Korea, but it's been all over Asia in different forms. But
I'm talking,
there's been something in American?
Yeah, TV? I'm talking way back in black and white TV. It's called What's My Line? And every show, the panelist would put on blindfolds. And a star, an actual legit star from sports, from theater, from singing, from movies, would come in and fake their voice in answering questions.
But they weren't singing.
And
nobody wore a hippo mask like this.
But you didn't, because the panelists had blindfolds on. So you didn't need to costume up the guest, but the guest would use a fake voice in answering the questions. Because the panelists would ask questions. Are you regularly on stage? And the star would go, nah. Or something like that. Just a goofy voice.
Well, everything's a
takeoff.
So
it's the same concept. Yeah.
And I think, Lorraine, is it fair to say that, I mean, you write about, is this a sign of end times? And I don't know if that's harsh or not. But is there ever, and would you say that this is rock bottom for reality TV? I still think of rock bottom, I guess, for reality TV being the debacle over Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire. But do you think it's gotten much worse since then?
I don't think reality TV has gotten worse. And I honestly don't think there is a bottom. I think they can just keep dropping that floor.
It's just
with
a
reality
black hole.
TV.
We'll just keep going.
Yeah, but I do think, it might be a reaction to, there's so many shows out there now. If you look at Netflix, Hulu, Handmaid's Tale, Stranger Things, that they spend a ton of money on. We don't even really know how many viewers there are, but they're like prestige shows, Game of Thrones. And I think on the other end of it, it's like we got to find something that's cheap to do that gets tons of eyeballs. And I think in that way, it's sort of like whatever it takes to get you here, whatever it takes to get you to, you know, look at this thing.
Yeah.
And in that way, yeah, it does sort of signal a kind of desperation.
Well, and we were talking about this earlier, Lorraine. I'm curious to this because what we've all been talking about, I haven't watched it yet, but everybody's talking about Bird Box, right? Or things like that are what we tend to talk about. I think on network television, I was saying earlier that other than This Is Us, and I imagine that even that's probably slipping a little bit, I don't know what appointment television from the broadcast networks really is. Why do you spend, because you mentioned that this is cheap to do, and I'm sure it is in essence cheap to do, but there's a huge stage, there's celebrities that had to be paid, there's your B-list host panel that you got to be has to be paid, and the millions upon millions of wasted promotional bits that they spent during all those NFL games and all their network time promoting the snot out of the show. I mean, millions and millions and millions of dollars. Why not produce a limited series television event like HBO does with True Detective or Homecoming on Prime or all these different things that people then talk about, even if it's a limited run? I would think that a network should spend, one network at least should say, hey, why don't we do insanely good programming like all the other people that are getting talked about? Is it because Netflix can afford to do that because they're getting people to pay for subscriptions and they need something that everybody's talking about so that you pay for it? We're there anyways. We just need eyeballs to show up. And so cheaper is better because we have an insane amount of hours of programming to fill and we can't afford to do something like that that costs that much money.
Well, I think that's part of it. But I think when you're also looking at like a traditional broadcast network, you're talking about, you know, the numbers are so different. You're talking about something that needs to have mass appeal. You know, when you're, even when you're talking about like Homecoming or whatever it is, Black Mirror, those things, they get people talking, they're water cooler type things, but they're not the kind of, you know, viewer numbers and the ratings that something with a really wide mass appeal might have. And it's those kind of reality competitions and those things people are familiar with that are like a formula that those networks want to go back and back to so they can rely on this one thing for ratings and this one thing for ads so they then can do shows like whatever it is, The Good Place, that they can kind of experiment a little bit more with, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, it's being familiar with the genre. Even if the genre does show up in a deer gas mask, it's just being familiar with that genre that strikes a chord.
Matt and I were talking before he started talking to you, about in the older days, things like the Thornbirds and Roots and Rich Man, Poor Man on network TV drew tremendous numbers. But again, that the viewing pie was not split up as much
split up into three,
as
basically.
What it is now. Yeah. So are the networks and the cable channels and the satellite channels, are they happy to get this large, one-shot, binge-watching audience, and then they're happy to take a lull before they come up with the next one?
Well, I think right now, everything is, like you were saying, that is so true. I mean, the pie was much smaller, and everything's very fragmented now. So I think they're happy to just pull in what they can right now. And in terms of just the traditional networks, they're definitely, the ratings on, you know, old tried and true moments are slipping, whether you're talking about, you know, the New Year's Eve shows that are on annually, that have been on for decades, or, you know, award shows. All of those ratings keep slipping. So I think they don't really know what to do. And I think it's this moment of kind of scrambling, like, what will work? So they're kind of reaching for some of the stuff that they know will work or they think will work, and then the more experimental stuff. But when you're talking about something like Netflix or Hulu or even YouTube, and it's not so much anymore, but they don't have half as much to lose, right? They have everything to gain. So they can go crazy with it. So I think it's just these really interesting in scales that aren't exactly balanced right now. And it's kind of flipping around and nobody knows what's going to land. And it makes viewing really exciting. But for I wouldn't want to be a network exec right now. I think it would be really like a nail-biting experience.
Lorraine, what about do you think it affects the networks when they're showing just an episode at a time versus when Stranger Things comes out, we'll be able to sit and watch the whole thing in a weekend if we want, or with all these other shows on Netflix and Hulu and places like that where you can just watch the entire series at once? I wonder if Game of Thrones is going to be hurt by that in its last season. People are like, it's been too long, I give up. Or when this new True Detective that's premiering now on HBO, I wonder if the week by week is suffering because we're getting used to, I can have this all at once. Why do I, I'm not coming back a week later. I wonder if that's changed, if those viewing patterns are going to hurt shows that try to be appointment viewing and stretch it out for weeks at a time.
Yeah, that's a really good question because when you're saying this, I'm thinking about how I watched Westworld this time around, mm-hmm. In its second season. And it arrived, now that I'm more conditioned to just binge watch things. And I was impatient with that. I'm thinking, oh, it's been a whole week. I've watched all this stuff in between. Do I really care? Now, this season wasn't as good as last season, so that could be part of it. But then I look at a show like Barry on HBO, and I was willing to come back every week for that. But those were like half-hour episodes, and they were really tight. And they moved. They had like a great pace and there was a lot of momentum and a lot was happening. So I think for a show that's, not dropping all at once, it does put more pressure on it, like perhaps Game of Thrones, to do as much as you can with each episode. And there's like, there cannot be any space in there. There just cannot be any slog or slow time in there. I think because you do lose audiences much faster now.
Yeah. Lorraine, I've got one quick call if you don't mind. Doc has been holding on forever here. He wanted to ask you a quick question. Doc, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Hey, great conversation. Hey, Lorraine, I really like the show Designated Survivor with Kiefer Sutherland. Is it going to be back?
Oh, no, I don't know.
I'm sorry to throw that at you without any warning on that. And my son watched Designated Survivor. That's Kiefer Sutherland as the president. The Congress was blown up, and he was the designated survivor who was off, and so he became president, and then hijinks ensued. I want to say that one, I don't know if that's coming back. I think that they kind of wrapped
that up. I'm furiously Googling while we're talking. Maybe I'll be able to give you the answer. I do not know it off the top of my head, though.
All right, Doc, listen, and we'll try to find an answer for you. One last question. Did you watch Homecoming?
I did.
And what did you, I've watched this, and I can't find anybody else who's watched it that I can vent to about it, so I'm sorry. But overall, what did you think of Homecoming?
I thought it was interesting. I thought it was intriguing. But then I also thought it was almost a little too self-conscious about needing to be strange and a puzzle and a riddle. Do you know what I mean? I felt like, okay, I know you're toying with us. I know that's part of this. But, like, I do need a little bit more of a plot here that I can, like, hold on to. I still thought it was good. But I wasn't, like, over the moon about it, I'll put it that way. How did you feel about
it? Well, I thought it was incredibly well acted. I love the premise. Mm-hmm. Like, it really got, okay, this is interesting. Where is this going? What happened?
Yeah.
And the way, so anybody that doesn't know, Homecoming is available on Amazon Prime, stars Julia Roberts, and she is a therapist at an army facility. It's a kind of a research thing. These guys come back from serving, and they're helping them to, it's like a buffer before they reenter society because they went through trauma, and to help them, relax. And then you find out they're feeding them drugs that are helping them forget their memories and things like that. But it goes back and forth in time. But it's very, I guess, trying really hard to be Hitchcockian in its manner and the way it's shot and in the music. And I just expected this really good payoff. And I thought at the end, I was like, wow, this is an M. Night Shyamalan. We don't have an ending. We're just going to end it here. To me, it just didn't, like, it built up like there's gonna be a twist you won't believe. And then you're like, yay, that wasn't a big twist we didn't really believe. There's a little bit of a twist at the end, but it just left me a little dissatisfied.
I have to say, I have that issue with a lot of shows now. I mean, I do, in this era of like making TV so fast, I do think like 50% or more of what we're watching, they don't think about how to end it.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like that about that. There's so many times when I get to the end, I'm like, really? No, I didn't just go on this ride for this.
Yeah, come on. Give us a little.
But do you think sometimes that comes about because they're not sure if they're going to be extended, if they can continue the story?
Not with this. This was a limited run series. It was Julia Roberts. You're not doing another season. But I also think, Lorraine, this could have been done in 2 hours. I mean, this didn't need to be a series.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's the other thing. Well, part of this is some of these series, I think it is, they don't know if they're going to keep going or not. But for this, in this particular case, I don't think that was it. But I also think that, you know, there is with the binging thing, they try and figure out ways to stretch out something that's, you know, a pitch or an idea or maybe a pilot in one episode. They stretch it out into six, and you're like, okay, wait a minute, that could have been condensed. And I feel that way quite a bit, especially with a lot of the documentaries on Netflix. They could definitely have been boiled down to two episodes rather than eight.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now, I will say real quick, one texter says Designated Survivor was canceled. Another says it's coming back on Netflix. So we will, unless you found something different, wait and see, Doc. It might be back. We'll see what Kiefer has up. Maybe they'll mix it with 24, and he'll be back as Jack Bauer as the president.
Ooh, there you go. You just gave somebody an idea.
I mean, that had to be the pitch originally, right? Jack Bauer is the president. He's the designated. That's sort of like, I'm guessing, what was in that meeting there. Lorraine Ellie is the TV critic at the LA Times, reader at latimes.com. Is there a social media we should give out to people so they can follow you, Lorraine?
Yes, on Twitter, I'm Lorraine Ollie.
At Lorraine
Simple.
Ollie. Awesome. Lorraine, Thank you so much for being on the phone. We hope to talk to you again.
Yeah, thank you.
That
Good
was
night.
A lot of fun. Thank you very much. Thank you for staying up, Lorraine. Matt Pabala with you, 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, high above Wacker Drive. I wanted to say Michigan Avenue, but that's at the old place, and we weren't high above. We were ground level back then. New year, new times. 312-981-7200. Tell us about the TV shows that you're loving, hating, or otherwise avoiding or looking forward to. 773 says, my favorite show on now is The Good Place. It's great because it stays fresh every few episodes. From Mark the Breadman. Thank you, Mark the Breadman. Stays fresh every few episodes? So it gets stale and then it refreshes?
It could. No.
Have you watched The Good Place?
No.
I do hear good things about it.
I have heard
Kristen
good things
Bell,
also.
Ted Danson.
Mm-hmm.
I know those two are in it.
My thinking would be, from his description, is that you might, sometimes you focus on one or two characters for a couple of episodes, and then you focus on other, leads or whatever, characters, after a couple of episodes. Kind of switch it around a little bit.
Okay. I'll buy that. Yeah. 440 says, speak of the devil. We got really burned on a TV series called The Returned. It was fun to watch, but they just dumped it and never resolved anything. Don't you just love it when that happens? So that doesn't sound like they had a bad ending. It sounds like it got canceled without resolving what was going on. That would be so frustrating.
Yeah. When networks throw on a series just because it's part of a deal of something, mm-hmm. and they just know that it's wasted, they just throw it on, and some people may like it and then get burned, like you say. This is not a new thing. The summer replacement shows were the same way back in the day. You know, a lot of series would take the summer break.
Yeah.
They would put on summer shows that they knew were only, you know,
I thought we always
eight
just
episodes.
Got reruns back
huh?
then. I thought we always just
Not,
got reruns back
Well,
then.
We had reruns back then, but then they started going because the actors or whoever started asking for money, more money, because their shows were going to be shown more than once. So they would say, well, forget that. We'll invest in a cheap program. We'll put it on for about 8 weeks, and then you worry about your new season.
Hmm.
Well, then it became not just a place to throw away shows, but to test shows that may be either a mid-season replacement
right,
or might get their own series.
Yeah. When I'm going to steal John's line here. So when I get to be king,
yes,
I think there should be a law that when you produce a television series, your mm-hmm. network, your Netflix, anybody, you pick mm-hmm. up a TV series and you're showing it to the public,
mm-hmm.
you have to give them the, even if you cancel it, you have to give them the opportunity to finish it. Whether that's just you get one more episode or whatever, You can't just at the end of the season go, nah, we're not going to do a fourth season, and there was this cliffhanger, and then everybody who did like it's like, what? So I'm never going to know what happened to Jane?
And you know, that would
have to give them that opportunity.
That would be a great idea, because now, for those who want to watch that last episode or two to bring it to a conclusion, put it on demand, and they would pay extra for that.
Oh, then you could charge them? Like
you could charge them.
A couple of bucks?
Yeah, a couple of bucks, and that way you test whether you had the right idea or not. And even if you had the right idea that it wasn't going anywhere, at least your faithful audience would get a chance to come to a conclusion, and then you would keep those people to watch whatever other shows. You wouldn't tick them off.
Yeah, it's a good point. 608 text, good life, very good at NBC. So another person texting about the good life. 231 wrote, I just finished watching the PBS series about the Vietnam War. My local library has the 10-disc set. Great history lesson. I don't know if I could watch 10 discs on the Vietnam War. I'd be curious and interested. Is that do you think that's the Ken Burns one? Was a year or two?
Yes, it was. It's very good.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
And I'm a history buff, so I'm kind of jaded.
It's one you really got to get. Okay, all right, here we go. Vietnam. We're getting into this because I could see you being like, however, the Masked Singer's on, and that's just stupid. So maybe we do that instead.
Yeah.
You know, you really gotta build up for certain shows, right?
Yeah, but once you get into it, depending on your age. You kind of get caught up in like, oh, yeah, this happened. Wow. And then they go into more than what you remember because a lot went on that we didn't know about.
Right.
You know, and so very, very interesting. I love Ken Burns documentaries.
Yes, he is very good. That's for sure. All right. So I wanted to jump back into something we were talking about before we got to talking to Lorraine. We were talking about the fact that after the holidays, I start to travel a little bit with Steve Dale.
Oh, right.
And we're going to a vet conference. And if the Bears make it all the way to the NFC Championship game, I am going to be in a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you were telling me we'll just string a wire down your shirt and put it on your TV in your lap. And boom. And my mom texted me right away.
Oh, no.
And it's funny because what she's talking about, I was thinking about as you were talking about, we were starting to run late for the news, so I couldn't get into it. She said, no. Remember the trouble when you were in grade school. So when I was in 6th, 7th, or 8th grade, I don't think it was 84 when the Cubs were making the playoffs, but it must have been when the Cubs were really good. It must have been around 84. It wasn't a playoff game because we did get to watch that or listen to it during school because you remember they played day games and we were in school.
Sure.
But there was some point where I brought in my little transistor radio. I had a little tiny little transistor radio. And do you remember, this is well before the earbuds we know of today. There used to be a single earbud. It was a big plastic white thing with a really long white cord that would go into a mini jack. Right. So I had one of those. So I had my transistor radio tucked in my sock.
In your sock?
In my sock. And I ran that wire all the way up my pants leg inside my shirt, out my collar, and into my ear.
Oh, man.
And I sat at St. Thomas More listening to a Cubs game.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Nordyke caught me. And he made my mother come in when I went out to school. When I went out to the car, I had said, Mom, you got to come inside. And Mr. Nordyke took Mary and he said, you have to come inside. She was so furious with me. So she does not want to repeat it.
Yeah, because I think it could be a little more damaging if they say, look, you're not really focused on us right now.
I think we're going to go another direction.
Yeah, right. I don't think you can afford that.
That would be bad.
Yikes.
That would be bad. 301 says, NBC just did this with Timeless. They ran a two-hour conclusion to a canceled series during the holidays. I don't even know what Timeless was, but that's
I remember it. Okay. It was a time-traveling thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, 440 says, Matt, just a small follow-up. Maybe we're asking the wrong people because there was a semi-science fiction show on, and there was a story where Darren McGavin, so that was the dad from Christmas Story, where Darren McGavin played a detective, and the show was canceled.
Kolchak.
Oh, my God. What is this? All right, listen to this. I have not heard of this before, but this is crazy. As a small fault, maybe we're asking the wrong people, because there was a semi-science fiction show on.
Mm-hmm.
There was a story where Darren McGavin played a detective, and the show was canceled. But aliens watching it several million light years away came to Earth and paid to finish the show for them because they worshipped it.
Wow.
What a great, interesting idea. Yeah, so the show gets canceled, but in another galaxy, they're addicted to it. And they're like, no, we need more. And they come here and they pay for it. What a great idea.
If it's the Kolchak program, actually, he was a reporter. And it was a one-off show that eventually turned into a series because he saw vampires and he chased vampires all over the place.
I'm not familiar. Yeah. So 608, or just before that, wrote Time Tunnel never had a conclusion. So I
love Time Tunnel.
But is that what somebody's saying with Timeless? They ran a two-hour conclusion? That's got to be the same thing, Time Tunnel and Timeless.
No. Time Tunnel is a very old series.
Okay.
Yeah, very old series. In fact, the first couple of episodes were in black and white, and then they found the money to go to color. And that was also a time-traveling thing where they had a machine that you could go back or forwards or whatever in time to specific events, like the sinking of the Titanic
or
stuff like that. And you try to prevent, there's a discussion of the changing of the timeline and stuff like that. And first there was one scientist who says, this will work, and he goes through the time tunnel, and it explodes, and it breaks, and they can kind of see him, like there's like this astral type of video camera that suddenly can see what the person is doing, and sometimes you can hear them in this time tunnel, and then other times it goes away, you can't, it's not working. Well, then the other scientist goes in the time tunnel and tries to go into the same location to save him. And then the rest of the series is the two of them tumbling through time.
Trying to get back to where they should be.
Trying to get back to the, and then the people in the secret government installation can every so often see what they're doing and hear them.
Did you ever watch Lost?
No, never got into it.
Did you try it and didn't get into it, or you just
I watched a little bit of it, not a lot. I never gave it time. I just didn't like the concept. I thought it was goofy.
It's really interesting, I think. It was really good. Yeah. It was good, Roger.
I know a lot of people watched it. It was episodes. A big, big series.
Jess, you only watched two episodes?
Yeah.
You quit?
I'm really bad with watching TV shows, not so much me, but Stefan will start a show and then he'll like it and then he'll be like, okay, let's watch something else. So we have like six ongoing shows that we're currently watching right now.
And you're not keeping up with any of them correctly, or?
One of them.
Just one of them? What is your show? What is the show that is kept up with in your house?
It's been out for a little while, but it's called Narcos. It's really good.
Okay, yeah.
Have you heard of it?
I have heard of it. I've never watched any, but I have heard of it. The thing is, there's a lot of good TV right now. We're living in a golden age for television. Mm-hmm.
It's just so crazy that the whole thing is based off of a true story.
Narcos is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
It's based off like an old, what is he, like a drug cartel that happened in Colombia, mm-hmm. and how it talks a lot about the government in Colombia and how they did all these negotiations with like the drug cartel, and I'm like, oh, like I can't believe this stuff actually happened. Like,
yeah.
So it's interesting.
Roger, 847 says that's Quantum Leap.
No.
But that's a different show than what you're thinking.
Quantum Leap is a different show. Quantum Leap was way after Time Tunnel. Quantum Leap was where he was working with, I could never tell if the guy was a computer program that you could visualize as a person, because you could always like walk through the guy, but it was quantum physics that the guy used, and he suddenly took over the bodies.
Right. He'd be in somebody
individuals
else's body, right? In Quantum Leap.
In Quantum Leap, that individuals that needed help to set things right.
301 says the Kolchak character first appeared in two made-for-TV movies, The Night Stalker and The Night Strangler. Mm-hmm. Then it was a one-season series.
There you go.
773 says people don't like to watch shows that require thinking, like Lost. Well, that's true.
I like watching series that require thinking.
Some people do, but not the mass appeal that they need sometimes.
It's pablum. I mean, think about it. Kids are put in front of a TV when they're little so that they'll be entertained.
Yeah.
And now, I'll tell you this, as we were talking before with your guest about shows that maybe have been stretched too far, things like that, it kind of reminds me of the British shows, and especially Doctor Who.
Now, just as always, coming back and reformulating. And,
right.
And it's Doctor Who, they change this doctor every season or whenever the person's sick of playing the doctor?
Probably when they're sick of playing the doctor, when the
and
contract's up.
And are they redoing the same scripts, or they're new scripts all the time?
No, they're new scripts.
Okay. And what
new
about
scripts,
like,
new writers, new directors, new everything.
Isn't there a show that's been on the BBC, like EastEnders or something, that's been on for 50
yes.
or 60 years?
Yes, I believe it's EastEnders. And Doctor Who has been on since, I believe, 1962.
Did it go away for a while and come back?
It did go away, okay. And then came back because it went away because it was becoming too expensive, actually, because they had to start, you know, the special effects when it started were real
sure.
cheap.
Yeah.
And then they came to a point where technology started coming in, and they needed to make it more exciting, and the audience started to dwindle away, but eventually it came back. But in England, Doctor Who, at least originally, was shown in like 14-minute episodes.
Oh, really?
So it would take 4 weeks for one full one-hour episode that we see here in America.
Oh, jeez.
And that's why they used to do 14, 15-minute programming.
They didn't show it like 5 days a week as 14
no,
minutes?
No, it was one a week. Mm. So you would have to, it was like a cliffhanger kind of thing.
That would be frustrating.
You know?
630 says, the Timeless bonus episode wasn't announced. Thankfully, I hadn't yet cleared it from my DVR recordings after it was canceled. I did when it was canceled after the first season. I ended up having to watch episode 2, season 1 on demand when they unexpectedly gave it a second season. 301 says, Time Tunnel started out great, but later got too weird with aliens and such.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't last very long. It was a great concept to start with, but they tried to really play up with the special effects, but I've tried to watch it again because I really loved it as a kid,
mm-hmm.
and it came up on Prime somewhere, and I started to watch it. I'm going, oh my God, I watched this when I was a kid?
And it was no good?
It really was bad.
You know what? I have something just like that
what?
In my life. There was a show that I watched as a kid. I thought it was great, and it was hilarious, and it was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 15 years ago, we were up late at night, and suddenly it came on TV, like in the middle of the night. I'm like, oh my God, we're so excited.
Mm-hmm.
The Banana Splits.
Yes.
The Banana Splits is on TV, and we watched it for 20 minutes. I was like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. How did we ever like this? How dumb were we as kids that this even had a semblance of being good? This is awful. And it was just terrible. Terrible, terrible,
yeah.
terrible.
There's so much that we watch. What did we know? We were kids.
That's true. And there was nothing else on.
No.
It's this or play outside. Okay, I'll watch it. Somebody writes, 773 writes, best show recently is Bodyguard with Richard Madden. Just super. I have not even heard of that.
Bodyguard used to be a movie made here in Chicago. My Bodyguard.
My Bodyguard with Robbie Benson?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that movie. And was it Vincent D'Onofrio?
And then there was it was D'Onofrio was the
see
big
the
kid?
Big guy?
Yeah.
I think so.
And then wasn't there the Bodyguard, the movie with
Kevin Costner
with Kevin Costner, yeah.
Two very different movies.
Yeah, extremely.
Very different movies.
Yeah.
All right, 312-981-7200. Let's take a break. We got news coming up. Lots to do. Stick with us. Give us calls if you like. 312-981-7200. Mapu Bala with you on 720 WGN. 608 says Land of the Giants was bad.
Horrible.
30
special effects.
301 says a childhood favorite of mine that still holds up, although not completely politically correct, is Johnny Quest.
Oh, yeah, the original one. Then they remade it. I think within the last like 6-7 years, they did another video, a cartoon version, updated it a bit. But the original one was fantastic. I love the theme song. The animation was great. The stories
kind of
were very well done.
Japanese anime type style?
No, not at all. No, not at all. Okay. Not Japanese anime at all.
All right. Johnny Quest.
Johnny Quest. Great stuff.
2:30.
Love that.
2:30 in the morning. Let's check some news headlines with Mr. Badish. Hello, everybody. Matt Verbala with you, 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 312-981-7200. 773 says, I disagree. I like Land of Giants, and I watch it every week. Okay. Okay for you. John has called in all the way from Iowa. John, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
I was going to tell you some more about the time tunnel. I read in Starlog a long time ago that it aired on ABC, and James Dearden and Robert Culper were the hosts.
And when was this?
And
like,
Lee Merriweather, who played the Catwoman later on Batman, was on it. And Lip Bissell, who was in the original movie The Time Machine, was the scientist on it. So anyway, they did 22 episodes, and they had like a sort of a mini pilot that was tacked on the end of the third one, which Robert Colbert and James Dearden met out in the desert, and they didn't recognize each other. And then they were propelled back to the time tunnel, and then they continued on their adventures. It was an Irwin Allen production, and they said that they often recycled the villains and aliens from Lost in Space and Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
Okay.
So, like, every 2 weeks, Irwin Allen didn't want to spend a lot more money on the special effects, so he'd bring the aliens back from other shows. <That's> You know, like, let's just see these aliens with these silver or gold skull caps, and their skin will either be silver or gold. And you'll see those aliens in Lost in Space, and then they'll pop up in the time tunnel.
That's hilarious. John, thanks so much for holding on. Yeah, go ahead.
The series was going to be continued. It was going to run a second season. There was like one episode that they wanted to do. It had something about a big octopus tentacle. Episode about a ship with a lost crew on it, but it cost too much to film that episode, and they had to can that one. But they wanted to do a second season, but ABC thought it was too cerebral, like Lost in Space, and canceled it. So anyway, I guess there have been two pilots for a remake of it. Hmm. There was one on Fox that aired, and it didn't catch on, and I think there was another pilot that was done in the 2000s. Only it had, like, women scientists on it.
Interesting.
So it might appear again.
Yeah, I've never heard of the show until tonight, so I'll have to look for it.
Oh, it ran on the Sci-Fi Channel originally. In fact, it had not run since 1966 when it first aired. It ran on the Sci-Fi Channel for a while, and then MeTV picked it up, and it was running on the Red Eye thing after midnight before Land of the Giants.
Hmm. Interesting. All right, John. Thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too. Have a good weekend.
You bet. Thank you, sir. 440 says, I'm sorry, Roger, but you just got the gong, and I think Chuck Barris did it personally because it was from a TV series called Tales from the Dark Side. The episode was Distant Signals.
Wait, with what?
I don't know. I don't know, but you got it wrong.
With Kolchak.
608 right, says, CBS is bringing back Twilight Zone. Now, that would be interesting to me. The Twilight Zone.
In fact,
Zone,
you know who's making it?
No, I do not.
Is the guy who did Get Out.
Get
the
it.
Movie Get Out.
Oh, Jordan Peele?
Yes, those guys are doing the Twilight Zone series.
Really?
Yeah.
Now that is interesting to me.
Yeah.
The Twilight Zone is a show that if you stumble upon and watch an episode, holds up really, really mm-hmm. well, I feel like.
Yeah.
That is still
in
scary
fact,
and spooky.
This is so weird. So
is there
the granddaughters,
you?
The granddaughters, I've got them hooked on Doctor Who.
Okay.
And I think that they have seen Goosebumps.
Okay.
All right. They've seen some of them. I'm not sure all of them or whatever. And I go.
The kids series Goosebumps?
The what?
The kids series
yes.
Goosebumps?
Yeah.
There was just a Goosebumps movie that came out,
yes.
right?
Yes.
It looked really good from the trailer I saw.
Yeah. In fact, it's on Prime right now.
Okay.
But I said, boy, if you liked Goosebumps, I says, you need to, this, I swear to God, this was Wednesday at our house.
Uh-huh.
I said, you have to watch Twilight Zone.
And you show them an
episode. I showed them. There's tons of stuff on YouTube, and it was one firm's choice of the top 10 episodes of the Twilight Zone.
What's number one? What was the list?
Oh, it was the beast at 20,000 feet or whatever it is.
The is that William the one on Shatner. The airplane?
Yeah.
The oh, man. That's episode. So good. Yeah. That's such a good episode. And then they redid that in the movie that came out in the 80s.
Yes.
And that was really good. Oh, come on.
I'm
you
sorry.
You didn't like that?
I didn't think it was as well done. First of all, this is
John
a case
Lithgow
of trying to redo
great.
Something that was already a classic. I hate when they try to do that.
I thought they did a pretty good job.
Right,
but I came from it not how you came from it.
Right.
Because as a kid, I probably hadn't really watched that many mm-hmm. episodes, so I wasn't as invested.
But. So we got him. I got him hooked now on the Twilight Zone.
That's funny.
It's really, that's so strange that he brought that up.
That's pretty cool.
Wow. By the way, I have a question for you. This is from a listener, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a area code here because they sent it through my Facebook. But the gentleman lives in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big fan, and he loves WGN Radio History.
What a nice
job. Did WGN Radio, did we not, some time ago, have a WGN Gold page?
We did.
On the website. And if that still exists, is there a way to access it for this gentleman who wants to know more about WGN Radio's radio history?
Well, now I'm going to turn into Roger and be the one typing.
Because I typed in WGN Radio/gold, and I got someone's podcast that talked about gold digging.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll have to check. I think one of our IT team members will be able to get this information for him. So we'll work on that for him.
I think it must not be up right now.
Okay.
Maybe we just have our archives page now. But yeah, we used to have that WGN Radio mm-hmm. site.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
It was a great hit. I loved it when they first put it together. And I was reading stuff that I had lived through, at least in the early to mid-50s, when I first started listening to WGN. So, but, yeah. So, there you go.
Yeah, and the last I saw, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think I haven't seen it as far as a page since they did the new website several years ago. So...
Yeah, it just jumps, when you go to the old page, it just jumps to our archives page now.
Oh, really?
So I'm guessing that that's not there right now.
Okay. Well, we'll check.
630 says, I'm still traumatized by an episode of Twilight Zone I saw as a kid, where the guy suddenly pushed an old lady in front of a train and then peeled back the skin on his wrist to discover he was a robot.
Ooh.
I don't remember
that. Was not in the top 10.
That sounds scary, though.
Mm.
There's a lot of good old scary stuff. In fact, Tom in Indiana, I think, wants to talk about that for a moment. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm on the show Decades. You know that one?
The TV channel Decades that shows the old shows?
Yes.
Okay, sure.
Since the first of the year, they've been running the Twilight Zone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was a special New Year's Eve. They've been running the whole series.
No, for 2 weeks now.
Yeah, yeah.
My name's Talking Tina, and I don't like you.
That was one of the top 10, actually.
Was it?
Yeah, that was one of the top 10
one.
Episodes.
Well, how about when a kid gets lost in the wall?
Oh, that's not in the top 10, but I don't remember that one. But how about the kid who doesn't like when people
there, right?
do something bad, and he kind of points at him, and like one person turns into a jack-in-the-box?
Huh. I've never seen that one.
That's one of the other ones they remade in the movie, right, Roger?
I think so.
I think it is, too.
I think so.
What about the, where there are, the person doesn't think they're pretty enough, and then in the end we see that they all have pig faces?
Oh, right, yeah. She goes
plastic
surgery.
That one, too.
Yeah.
That's got to be one of that's got to be
the ordinary one, and the other ones are weird.
Yeah, yeah. So cool.
Thank you, Tom.
You
have a good night.
You bet. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Tom. It, was that in the top 10, Roger? The pig face one? That's like
yes,
the new
it was.
One of the most famous
yes,
ones.
It was. Yeah.
Rod Serling.
Mm-hmm.
For your consideration. Right?
Yep.
312-981-7200. Have you Have you guys gotten the ancestry thing? Have you
done
that? Have
we done it? No.
We're going to talk about that after the 3 o'clock news. There's some interesting news out there about that. 773 says 12 Monkeys is a great time travel show. It's
That was a movie, wasn't it?
It's A Good Life is the Kid Twilight Zone.
The Good Life is a TV show, isn't it?
I think I have two separate texts within one text here. They wrote, 12 Monkeys is a great time travel show, and then ... It's A Good Life is the Kid Twilight Zone. So I'm not sure if there's a show called It's a Good Life, and they're saying that's like the children's version of the Twilight Zone, or what exactly they're saying here.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like something like that. 312-981-7200. News coming up in a little bit. 720 WGN.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
Dun, dun. And then it had a theme song. And
then there was a theme song, yeah.
Where's the theme song?
Well,
why is there no theme song? Roger.
I'll get you the theme song. I know you like the theme song.
Gummed up for that. Okay, I got some clarity here from 773. It's a Good Life is the name of the episode with the kid who doesn't like anyone. You're a very bad man.
That's the one, yeah.
So that's the title of the episode. So there you go. Thank you. So thank you to 773. Thank you to 301 for clearing that up for us. And it was one of the ones that was remade in the Twilight Zone movie in the 80s. So there you go.
Very cool.
Hey, by the way, I got a birthday card from our listener, PJ, who is Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. So sweet of her. Thank you so much, PJ. That's very nice of you for remembering my birthday. I very much appreciate that and all the time that you sent us cards.
What was the package?
Well, so that's here. This is
See, I left it for
Rhonda.
You to open up on the air.
Oh, right? Yeah. It says WGN Radio, Attention, Matt and Roger. So what, you're worried? So you thought, well, I'll let Matt open this?
Yeah.
Nice. You're terrible. Let's see what this is. Kamikaze Radio here, just opening up these things.
I wonder if it's a weather
air.
Maker or something.
So it's a thick package. Let's see. Oh my God, how funny.
What?
Matt and Roger. Last Friday night, I called up to tell you the name of the game, Fortune Teller. So here are the fortune tellers I promised you. Love listening to you both on Friday nights. Happy Fridays and a very happy new year. All the best from a loyal fan, Rhonda. Rhonda Fishkin in Buffalo Grove. She sent us those little, they're not origami things, but they're the little folded up things. It says pink, blue.
Oh, yeah, that's
yellow,
right.
Green, and then it has numbers inside.
You put your fingers in them and you go back and forth, left and right, back and forth. I'll have to come in and show you how to do it.
Yes, you will.
You actually have to put your four fingers, one in each corner, and then you start going back, and you get like a number. You go 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you pick a color and something like that, and then you peel open, and there's your
fortune. Sent us several of them.
Oh, my.
But only one of them. She wrote yellow, green, pink, blue, and then on the inside, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay, you can pick a number of 8, so you go back 8 times.
You are going to have to help us figure out how to do that.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's fantastic.
Thank you so much, Rhonda. That was so nice of you.
Excellent.
Rhonda, just so you know, you freaked Roger out, and he made me open that because he was worried it was ricin or something like that. You're doing away with us, so we appreciate that. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you, Rhonda. Hey.
Help me, Rhonda. That's okay.
Not tonight, it's not.
No, thank you, Rhonda. Yeah.
Do you know where Jess and I were on New Year's Day?
I didn't get the memo.
We didn't tell you. No. We both happened to end up at the Winter Classic.
Oh, I saw Jess's pictures. I think I saw yours, too.
Yeah.
I did not put two and two together.
Taking the boys down, and we went down to South Bend, and you know, I was leery about going to a Winter Classic. I didn't go to the one in Soldier Field. I didn't go to the one in Wrigley. Just because an ice rink is a lot smaller than a football field. And so I was nervous, like, how far away are we going to be?
Oh, you wouldn't be able to. Didn't you bring binoculars or
something? I didn't. A friend of mine had binoculars with. I never looked through them.
Okay.
But I was just thinking, eh. And so I was kind of like, you know, we stay out late. We're always at a friend's house on New Year's Eve at the Petzolds, our good friends in Arlington Heights. So we're always with them on New Year's Eve, so we don't get home till late. And then it's a 2.5 hour drive from my house. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was really like hesitant on the whole thing. But my oldest son Jack loves colleges and loves Notre Dame, and I knew he would just love to get there and see, because we'd never been to a game down there. So I thought, well, let's just do this. So we did it, and it turned out great. It's fast getting there. Only took us like 2.5 hours. Oh, that was really easy.
Not too bad. And the weather was good, too.
The weather was good. It turned out really well. We didn't freeze at all. And in the seats, we're kind of in an end zone. But we're so much closer than I really expected to be.
Oh.
The rink filled up more of the field than I expected.
Okay.
And it just turned out really good. And even though, so they had on what the end we were looking out, touchdown Jesus is over the other side of the field.
Oh, perfect view.
I was calling him Hat-Trick Jesus that time.
Hat-Trick.
but touchdown Jesus is over there, so they don't have any video monitors there. Behind us, right behind us, they had a ginormous video board, kind of like they have at Wrigley.
Right.
So everybody else facing our way could see replays and all the stuff all day long. Mm-hmm. We'd have to turn around and look that way if we wanted to. But other than that, it was cool, and it was really well done. They put on a good show. Unfortunately for the Hawks, they came up short.
Yeah.
Had a good game, though. And Jonathan Toews hit a post with just a few minutes left that would have tied it up, unfortunately. But it was cool. Yeah. Getting out of Notre Dame, insanity. It took us 2.5 hours to get there, 4 hours to get home.
Oof.
And it's funny when you go by like your map app on your phone, whatever that is. Now, maybe Waze would do better. I don't do Waze. I just do the app on my iPhone.
Sure.
But it's like steering you go this way. But then they've got all these roads blocked.
Oh, no.
So then you start turning. So then it recalculates and says, do a U-turn. And I'm like, but that's not going to help because they have that all blocked off down there.
Yeah.
So it just took forever to get
out. Did you have to go, the old-fashioned way without the
Man,
app?
We just started looking at the map and started taking side roads.
Yeah.
Although I think actually one of the other guys in the car pulled up Waze, maybe, and then we used that. Eventually we got to an expressway and got home.
Did you and Jess meet up at the game? Were you close by? Or?
We weren't close by, but she was texting, and so the kids and I went down and said hi to her and Stefan before we left.
Oh, good.
There were empty seats next to us. I said, come sit by us. And she said, I'm sorry, Stefan, I'm throwing you under the bus here.
Uh-oh.
Stefan doesn't want to walk up the stairs.
Oh, come on.
What is he, 110? I had knee surgery a week and a half ago. I'm walking up these stairs. I don't want to walk up the stairs. What's wrong with him? What's the deal with that?
I don't know.
What an old man you're trying to get to marry you.
You need to trade him. You need to
tell him if he doesn't put a ring on it, you can trade him in for a younger model.
He is 30 now, so
man, that's old.
30 going on 84.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't scare your children when I just immediately hugged all of them.
I didn't even notice. No, I don't. They're used to that. They're very adorable. People hug them all the time. It's fine.
I did. I was just like, come to me. And
that was the first time you met at least one of them, right? I know you met Jack, because Jack's been here on the overnight show with us, and probably Tommy you've already met, I would think.
Yes,
but
I
maybe
believe so.
First time for Michael, I'm not sure. But no, that was good. It was good to see you and Stefan, and did it take you guys forever to get home, too?
Yeah, like 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Oh, I got to tell you guys the craziest story. I forgot all
and,
about this.
And, sorry, real
but,
quick.
No, go.
I was surprised that they had Weezer there. I forgot all about that.
You know what? And I walked, so I had other family that was on the other end of the stadium, so I heard it as I walked. But I don't get it. Weezer had a bunch of hits back in the day. Then this past summer, they remade Toto's Africa, which is a great song. But they didn't like make a Weezer version of Toto's Africa. They basically redid note for note Toto's Africa. So why the hell was that a hit? I'd rather listen to the original, unless you're doing something a little different with it. It was the exact same song.
I'm not sure on that one.
They had a band play between the second and third period.
Yeah, do you remember that band?
The Lion and Joda or something?
Lion and Judah? Judah, maybe?
We got to look that up. They were really good, I thought.
They're so good you remember their name.
Weren't they from Nashville?
Listen, they were. I think so. But and Tommy thought that there's a song, the last song they played, he thought we've heard that on the radio. I didn't know if these guys had ever been on the radio, if they were just really up and coming. But they were really, really good.
Oh, I think it might be Judah and the Lion.
Judah and the Lion.
Does that sound right?
Roger, we almost had it.
Close, but no cigar.
Jeez. Here was the problem, though, at Notre Dame, I think. is normally when they play NCAA football, they're not allowed, I believe, by NCAA rules to sell liquor in the stadium.
I don't know.
Because this was an NHL game, they were selling liquor.
What I heard was that before the match was over, they ran out of food and liquor.
Well, I don't know if they ever ran out
of
liquor.
That is true.
They ran out of beer, too? I don't know.
I'm not sure about beer, but for sure food.
Well, the issue was most of their concession stands were just selling beer. I felt like they didn't do food in many places at all. Like, whenever we walked by a food line, it was in, like, you'd miss half a period if you were getting in a food line. It was going to be brutal. So we didn't even.
That's worse than at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, we didn't bother eating there at all. And my buddy buys a beer. He's like, come on, you got to have a beer. I'm like, all right, I'll have one beer, but I got to drive. The beers they were selling were like 24-ounce beers. They were ginormous.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Stefan and I think him and I, he had a beer and I had a beer.
Yeah.
And it took me like an hour.
The one good thing about that is, and buying that big beer, is it was 37, 40 degrees out, so your beer would stay cold forever. You didn't, like, you go to Wrigley and you buy a big beer, you're like, I gotta gulp this thing now because it's gonna be in 10 minutes, you know, in August. Yeah. But there, that's the one benefit of the Outdoor Winter Classic, is beer's gonna stay cold throughout the game. You're just fine.
I was just gonna say that because it takes me so long to finish a beer.
Yeah.
And Stefan always makes fun of me for it. So I was like, well, at least it's cold. My beer will stay cold.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one huge benefit to that. Because I'm like, oh, God, a ginormous thing at Coors Light? Come on. I got to drive home later. I'm never going to stay awake doing that.
There were so many WJM people there, but I didn't. And then a lot of my friends from high school and stuff were also there as well that I didn't know till afterwards when I saw their posts on Facebook and everything.
It's funny. I didn't know anybody who was going either, but we ran into a dad from school, from the grade school, and we went up and talked to him, and he's like, yeah, I got clients in from Boston. I'm bringing them to the game. And then an old baseball coach we saw driving down the street. We waved to. So it was kind of cool.
Stanley was also there.
Hannah was there, yeah.
She was a couple rows in front of me, but I didn't see her.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was fun. It was actually a really, although I feel bad saying it, but the Hawks need to just say, I'm sorry, NHL, we suck at this. We are really bad playing the outdoors. Can we just keep the games indoors? They're now 1-5 in these outdoor games. And 0-4, I think, in Winter Classics. They also played two, like, just outdoor series games.
Right.
But they've only won one out of the six games they played outdoors.
I don't remember when they won one. That's why.
It was, like, in St. Louis, I think, or something.
That's why every time they get
in. They lost to Soldier Field. Now they lost at South Bend.
Yeah. I mean, everybody loves watching the Hawks, but my goodness.
I'd like to watch them win once in a while.
Well, yeah.
That would help. Hey, coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. I have to tell you, so New Year's Eve, we went to our friend's house. New Year's Day, we had our Bubala family party down at Black Dog.
Right.
And things went awry. I will tell you what happened after the news, which is coming up right now once I get this. Hey, hear the sounds that matter. The top 5 at 5 from the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. That's weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Here's the news with Roger. Welcome back, everybody. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN. I'm having a healthy snack because New Year, Roger and I vow to be less jolly.
Yep, I had my healthy snack.
Just bought me a Sargento Sweet Balanced Break. I've had these before, but just I didn't realize. So this is not the one I normally get. This is weird.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I just didn't expect it.
Would you open it up and it spilled?
What are the other ones?
No, I didn't spill it. I'm eating it. But like the one I've had has the Colby cheese on the one side and then like
chocolate covered nuts on the other.
No, not chocolate covered nuts. Just like nuts and maybe it was dried cranberries or dried something, raisins. This is Colby Natural Cheese dark chocolate covered peanuts.
Yeah, that's the one I
banana
have.
Chips and yep. Creamy peanut drops.
I like them.
It's freaking me
sorry.
Out.
Sorry.
No.
Maybe they have like
I'm sure they have different
little package
combinations.
Things.
Okay. So
I have there's another also, one. If there's you're also, interested,
I'm good. Thank you very much. You can have that one. I don't want to keep going through. You have a different flavor in the other one.
I don't know. Let me check.
Okay.
Now, knowing that we were not doing pizza anymore, and knowing that I have a long shift on Friday nights,
yes,
and knowing that I love to eat too much, So I brought a second dinner for myself. When I get in, I always sit down and have something to eat with my mocha.
Okay.
As I prepare my newscast and get things ready.
Okay.
So I had a really nice beef and noodles.
Ooh.
And it's a one serving. It's not a big serving.
Sure.
And then the second one, which I have in the refrigerator, I got to warm up, is gluten-free macaroni with lactose-free cheese and chicken.
Who is punishing you?
No.
Sounds terrible.
Chicken meatballs with Parmesan and I think red peppers or something.
Okay.
So, again, healthy.
Have you had this yet? Have you tried this before?
Oh, yeah, I've had it before.
And it's okay?
It's delicious.
Okay.
It's
good.
Delicious.
Good. Good.
So, I don't know if I have the Alfredo one or if I have the noodles with vegetable pieces.
I have some hummus and pita chips again.
You brought that
with
again.
As we all had last week.
Yeah.
So, if either of you want to swing in here and get some of that, you are more than welcome
to. Thank you.
Texter says... 708 says, I believe the two outdoor games the Hawks won were both in Chicago. One at Wrigley, the other at Soldier Field for 2 out of 7 or something like that, says Peter. Peter, you are wrong, sir. Let's go through them. First outdoor NHL game ever. Raj, what do you think that was?
That was the Hawks.
February 2nd, 1954.
What?
The Red Wings.
54?
The Red Wings played a game. This is interesting. An exhibition game.
I was 2 years old.
February 2nd, 1954, played outdoors at the Marquette Branch Prison between the Red Wings and a team put together by the inmates of the prison.
Oh, my God.
The Marquette Prison Pirates.
Wow.
Attendance was zero.
What?
I guess they didn't let anybody watch. I don't know. In April 1956, the Bruins played a postseason exhibition tour of the Maritimes and the island of Newfoundland with stops in Corner Brook, Grand Falls, Bay Roberts, St. John's, and Gander. So they played an outdoor game in 56. And then after that, it was 1991. I remember this. This was at Caesar's Palace. The Rangers and the Kings.
Oh, I do remember that
played an
that
outdoor
one.
Game, and they were worried about the heat. I remember that.
I remember that because in... What you said, 91?
1991, yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Because Gretzky was playing for the Kings at the time, I believe.
I remember that because it was on regular TV. I'm thinking that I had just left Vegas, but that was 10 years before.
And then the current outdoor thing started...
Where it meant something?
Well, the November 22nd, 2003, they did the Heritage Classic at Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton, Alberta, the Canadiens and Oilers. That was an outdoor game... First National Hockey League game to be played outdoors as part of regular season play. So that Las Vegas one was a preseason game. It was September 27th, so that would have been preseason. So okay. The first outdoor actual counts in the standings NHL game, November 22nd, 2003. Then, the first Winter Classic was January 1st, 2008, Ralph Wilson Stadium in New York, the Penguins and the Sabres. In front of 71,000 people. The second one, January 1st, 2009, at Wrigley. That was the Red Wings and Hawks. The Hawks lost that game 6-4. If you remember, Hawks jumped out to like a 3-1 lead. They were killing them early in the game, and then they fell apart. 2010, that was at Fenway Park, Flyers and the Bruins. 2011 was at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. I do not want more of this, Jess. I'm sorry, I don't like this one.
You don't like that one?
I appreciate
that one.
So much that you brought it, but I do not like this one.
Roger
likes it. Will you take it to Roger?
Well, I already have. I've got my noodles I got to go get. In fact, you go ahead and keep going with the Winter Classics. I got to go get my noodles.
All right, you go ahead and go get your noodles, Roger. So then in 2011, they went to Pittsburgh. Caps and the Penguins played. Also in 2011, in February, they had another Heritage Classic. That was the Canadiens and the Flames. Then 2012 Winter Classic in Philadelphia, Rangers and Flyers. 2014. So they're really, it's so funny. I felt like the Hawks played more often early on. 2014 at Dodger Stadium. The Ducks and the Kings. I don't remember that one. I don't remember such a far south one. That's interesting. That was a stadium series game, January 25th, 2014, the Ducks and the Kings in front of 54,000. January 26th, 2014, Yankee Stadium, Rangers and the Devils, and the Rangers and the Islanders. They play back-to-back days in Yankee Stadium? That's interesting. I don't remember that at all. And March 1st, 2014, that was the Soldier Field game. So they had a bunch of outdoor stadium series games in 2014. That was the Penguins and the Hawks, and the Hawks lost that game 5-1. Or did the Hawks win that game 5-1? Away team, home team. Maybe the Hawks won that game 5-1, so they win the one in Soldier Field. But that wasn't a Winter Classic. That was Stadium Series. Okay. So there's the Hawks, I think, only outdoor win, I believe, was that game. They beat the Penguins 5-1. Then they had another Heritage Classic 2014, Senators and Canucks. The next year, Winter Classic 2015, Hawks played the Capitals in D.C. Hawks lost that game 3-2. Hawks next played February 21st, 2016 in a stadium series against the Wild. Wild beat them 6-1. And then the Hawks played a Winter Classic in St. Louis January 2nd, 2017 against the Blues. Lost that game 4-1. And that gets us down to the Blackhawks and Bruins game January 1st, 2019. And the Bruins won that one 4-2. So the Hawks are 1-5 in outdoor games. And upcoming, this February 23rd in Philadelphia, the Penguins and the Flyers are going to play at where the Eagles play at Lincoln Financial Field. That'll be a stadium series. Heritage Classic next fall in October up in Canada. They'll have a Flames-Jets game. Winter Classic next year is going to be in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. They do not know who the Dallas Stars will play, but the Stars are going to play in that. And then a Stadium Series game in Colorado at the Air Force Academy. The Avalanche will host that on February 15th, 2020. So there you go. That updates it. So sorry, Texter, you were wrong. Hawks 1-5. 1-5 in outdoor games. Jess, so just an update for you and I on these Sargento's
yes, Matt.
Sweet balanced breaks. 847 writes, balanced breaks come in lots of varieties, but then there's sweet balanced breaks, which also, oh, so maybe I didn't have a sweet balanced break. I just buy balanced breaks. You bought a sweet balanced break.
That's because you're so sweet.
I knew that was coming. There's sweet balanced breaks, which also come in a few different varieties. The one you like is one of balanced break flavors, not a sweet version. There you go. Oh, here we go. Texter writes, Dear Matt and Roger, this is your pizza man. Thanks to you guys, my family is starving. I hope you are happy. See, that's not true. That's not true because pizza man, if you cared about us, you would have called last week and we didn't order to check on us. Jess, have we gotten a call from Papa Nino's yet? A wellness check? Wondering where we are? Why haven't we ordered pizza? If everything is okay? Are you guys okay? Are you still there? Did you find another pizza place? What happened? There should be a call. There should be a call, and I'm hurt.
He texted.
That's not him. It's 412. It's not the. That's not. Fuck. I'm not buying it. Not buying it. Disappointed in them. We gave them our lives.
I just Googled 412 area code, and it said Pittsburgh.
Well, I think it's somebody that texts us pretty often, so I think they live here now. But I'm just guessing they're not driving around for Papa Nino's at 3:15 in the morning. That's my guess.
Although I do kind of miss pizza. I crave
I totally
pizza now.
Miss pizza.
I crave it
I
now.
It. Pizza's good. Pizza's life.
Pizza on Earth.
Pizza on Earth, yes. By the way, because I have to annoy people and tell them this every day, and I'm sorry, luckily all of you only hear me one time a week. I am now on day 11 of no Diet Coke. I still have not had a Diet
what?
Coke.
Really?
Yay. I'm going 30 days, baby. I'm a third of the way there. Got
so
my
what you,
huge cup of water here.
What are you going to do once you hit 30 days?
That's a good question.
He's going to turn himself in for a deposit.
That's very good, Roger. I don't think I want to go back to drinking it.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Because your body will already be acclimated to being without it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm off the caffeine. I'm doing good.
Yeah,
good. I think what I'm going to do after the 30 days is I still want to treat once in a while. But Diet Coke wasn't a treat to me. It was what I sustained myself with. No, not in the overnights. We're not doing that anymore, Jess. It's over. I'm sorry. The dream is over. Your pepperoni dreams have been put to pasture. I think that I'm going to buy, you know how they have the little cans, the 8-ounce cans now?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to buy a 6-pack of Dr. Pepper and just have that. And then like a couple times a week as a little treat, I'll just have an 8-ounce Dr. Pepper.
I'm going to tell you, when you have it, after having gone so long without any...
I had a Dr. Pepper the other night.
And didn't you feel a little different?
What?
You know what's funny?
So you already cheated.
No! I said no Diet Coke for 30 days. No Diet Coke.
There's like
Coke.
10,000 other sodas out there you could have.
There are. But I do think
none
there's
of them
an
are...
issue with the diet part of it. Because there is like some studies that show that you trick your body into thinking this, and then you crave other things, and blah, 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 blah.
But still, you have to cut the soda out.
Yes.
Seriously, take it from one who has done it.
I've had two sodas in the last 11 days. When we had our family party on New Year's Day, I had a Sprite, and then I had a Dr. Pepper with dinner on Friday night. Now, let me tell you this real quick.
All right.
So, as part of this, I've been eating a ton less. I really have been. And that's what I'm really trying to do is, like, with a meal, have a very small portion, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other night, we were out with Jack, and then we were out late, and so we're coming back home, and we hadn't had dinner. And we couldn't figure out a place, so Colleen just finally decided on Denny's. We never eat at Denny's. She hates Denny's. But we're just eating at Denny's.
I used to live at Denny's.
I love Denny's. When I lived in L.A., I'd eat at the Denny's all the time. Yeah. But anyways, so it's like 8:30 at night, and it's like, oh, what are you going to do? And I decide, I should have just gotten the chicken tenders and kept it simple, but I decided, you know what? The French toast Grand Slam looks good. It's four little pieces of French toast, two pieces of bacon, two sausage links, and two eggs. Thought, you know what, I'm going to have that. So I had that and a Dr. Pepper. But I have syrup on the French toast.
Right.
And I have Dr. Pepper. I'm not having much sugar at all right now.
Yeah, you are.
But when I do, like something like that, then like 30 minutes later, I just want to pass out.
Right.
Because, and this is what I think used to happen. We do this overnight show.
Mm-hmm.
When I would drive home, I would be like slapping myself sometimes to stay awake or cracking open a new Diet Coke
sure.
or whatever.
Matthew.
Because I think I crash. And last week, guys, all I had was water, and we had our hummus, and that's all I had. A lot of water, and then hummus. I was more awake on my drive home last week than I've ever been in the years we've done this show. And that really, like, I'm like, God, that sugar and the fake sugar and everything else, I think, wakes me up, and then I just crash so hard. So I was very happy about that. So what I'm saying... Pizza Man wrote again. P.S. We're moving to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh eats lots of pizza. They are so fat in Pittsburgh.
Well,
I'm sorry that we had to make you move, but you got to go where the fat is. It ain't here anymore. We're getting rid of it. But I'm really like excited to try to stay like away from the sugary stuff and a Dr. Pepper once in a while, especially the small one. Because the problem also with the Diet Coke is with dinner, I wouldn't have a Diet Coke. I would have two Diet Cokes, two 12-ounce Diet Cokes. I think a few times a week having a Dr. Pepper here and there just as a treat, I think I'll be okay with that.
So you're copying Aubrey's thing because he used
What's
to bring...
Aubrey's thing?
He used to bring like a little 6-pack mini Coke thing and just like leave it in the fridge. And then occasionally he would just pop in and then surprise me with one when we ordered pizza.
I'm not bringing you pizza or pop anymore.
Okay.
I am not your sugar daddy anymore when it comes to pizza. We're going to get healthy in the new year. See, the problem for Jess is, Raj, you and I need to lose weight. Jess is already a tiny little thing who like needs pizza, and we're denying
it's like
now.
A stick. Poor
thing. I wouldn't say a stick.
Stefan still eats pizza, but he's on a diet, too.
But he's also 10 feet tall and doesn't show on him.
He thinks it does. So now I just got to fend my own devices.
I know,
get
you
pizza.
Poor thing. You're like, all my fat friends are dieting. Now I'm bored. Who am I going to eat with?
412, if you have any tips on how for me to get pizza, let me know. Call me.
Maybe you should order pizza with Stefan during the week at one point and then just bring a little bit in.
Yeah, save it.
That's what you got to do. All right, so let me tell you about New Year's Day. Every year, my family... we get together, or at least the last 2 years. This has been fun. We started this last year at Black Dog. We have a nice space where we have a big kind of conference room and room, and we can have my side of the family there, and it helps out the people in Northwest Indiana because it's just more equidistant for everybody.
Yeah, it's close.
So we were going to do it on New Year's Day this year. My sister and her whole family and a bunch of people were going to the Winter Classic. So they rented a 14-passenger van.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then they drove up and they picked up my mom and aunt and my brother and they brought them all downtown. So they get downtown and we're all down there and we got Portillo's Cater. We got the Sterno going and everything. The Christmas lights are hung. We're going to have fun. And my sister says, hey, when we get here, can you help Dave find a place to park this thing? I'm like, sure. Now, the parking garage where I park, that thing would not fit because of the height restrictions. Right. So we're going to drive around and just find something on the street. And I figure it's New Year's Day, or it's New Year's Eve day.
Right.
New Year's Eve day. So probably not as many people downtown. Definitely not people working as much. So maybe we could find some street parking. So we drive around, just right around the corner. There's street parking. Pay at the box. There's openings. Awesome. We pull up, pay for 2 hours, head on up. We have our party. We're playing. We're doing eating food, talking, whatever. And then Dave's like, oh, it's 2 hours. I got to go repay. I'm like, okay. So he heads down there. And he comes back a couple minutes later, and he says, the van is gone. And I'm like, get out of here.
What?
The van's gone. Of course he's pulling my leg, trying to trick me. They're pulling one over on me.
It's Chicago, man. They stole the van.
Yeah. He's like, well, it's either got towed or it's stolen. I'm like, get out of here. It's still there. No, it's not. And then everybody's like, I think he's telling the truth. I'm like, he's not telling the truth. He's like, man, I swear it's gone. So I put my coat on, I head out with him. I'm like, did you go to back to the right? We turn the corner. It's gone. The stupid van is gone. I'm like, oh my God.
You've got to be kidding. This
what
is
happened?
Crazy.
So we walk over there, and there's a valet guy for a restaurant that's right there. He's like, oh, did you have the van? And we're like, yeah. He's like, oh yeah, it got towed. We're like, what? There's no... On that side of the street, they only have really thin poles. Like you would have like a sign on like that said crosswalk or something like that. They didn't have street lamp wide poles.
Oh, okay.
They had wrapped around the poles, no parking, noon to noon, New Year's Eve to New Year's Day.
Oh, no.
It was impossible. I mean, I guess if it's our fault, right? We got to be looking, got to figure that out. But I was like, I cannot believe this just happened. So I'm like, son
Do
of
they
a.
not know who you are.
Roger, stop. So I drive him down to the Lower Wacker impound lot. Have you ever been down there?
Not in ages.
Right below us, basically.
I know.
Three levels down, there's a huge, Jesse, you probably don't even notice, there's a huge impound lot. If you get towed anywhere down here, your car ends up basically
right
below us.
Didn't they used to be, before they redid Wacker Drive, didn't they used to be just west of Michigan Avenue on the Lower Wacker, right along the river? That used to be the impound lot.
I don't know because...
When I was young.
Well, I know when I was younger, about 15 years ago, I once got towed down here, and I went to the exact same place I took him the other day. So it's been a long time
it's been
in this place.
Yeah.
And so we went down there and got in line, and it takes forever, and nobody's in a hurry in there. And there's like there's like 10 people in there, and there are a bunch of people, same thing. We didn't see that. It was wrapped up, blah, 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 blah. So we're all paying. So my brother-in-law, because he's got the 14-passenger van, they're like, well, everybody's paying $170 to get out. They're like, yours is $310. We're like, what? He's like, it's over 8,000 pounds, $310. He had to pay $310 plus got a $100 ticket.
Wow.
That sucked.
Man.
Yeah. Man is right. All right. I've got some callers about... Diet Pop that I want to get to. Jerry, hold on for just 1 second. We got to take a quick break, do the quick news headlines, and then we're going to talk about diet soda and how it helps if you quit it, according to some listeners. That's next, 720 WGN.
It's a party in the USA.
Matt Babalo with you here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Pizza Man has texted again.
Uh-oh.
Okay, he writes, we will only accept orders from Jess. Matt and Roger are banned from my pizza shop. Keep your hands off of Jess's pizza.
Uh-oh.
Thank you, 412. I love pizza.
Wow.
412 still has not showed up here with a pizza for you, though, Jess.
Yeah.
They're just talking pizza. You can talk the talk all you want.
Yeah.
When you deliver the pie, then you get my respect. Jess deserves at least one free pizza from Papa Nino's for the years of ordering.
Yeah.
Years.
I'm very simple. I mean, I'm good with just cheese pizza.
I'm going to be...
That would make me super happy.
I think I will be working on all my year-end stuff this week. I will try to have a total for you next week of what we spent on Papanino's in the last year.
I can't even imagine.
At least from my end. It's got to be...
I'm saving money.
It's got to be close to $500, right?
Easy.
Phew, God.
With the tip. Don't forget the tip.
Yeah.
I'm up to...
What do we got in the... what's the tote board say for the Disney World savings?
Drum roll. $2,000.
Nice.
Yep.
Getting there.
Yep.
We think our goal's 10?
Yeah.
All right. There we go. All right. 3:30 in the morning. Jerry, hold on just 1 second. Once Roger does the news headlines, we'll talk to you about Diet Pop or Diet Soda, depending on where you're from. Let's check the headlines first. Matt Babala with you, 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. Call or text. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studios. What did I just want to ask? Oh, Roger, you keep saying that tonight, Saturday night, we're going to do our pregame.
Yeah.
Three Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a post-game Three Bears on Sunday night?
There's no post-game. Nope. Sorry.
That's frustrating.
We've got the Hawks.
On Sunday night, too?
The Hawks are Sunday night.
The Hawks aren't playing tonight?
No.
Oh.
Sunday night.
That makes sense. Huh?
There you go.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
Because the post-show is the real thing with Hamp and OB.
Oh, I know.
You know, because they're either losing their mind or they're happy.
Actually, if I'm not mistaken from what I was told... Mm-hmm. There is a post game, but it will be online only.
Oh.
On the stream, as they say.
Then that's good to know.
Yeah.
All right,
in fact, I think they will be in studio.
Let's talk a little bit about Diet Soda, because a couple of you have texted me about that. 708 writes, hello, Matt and crew. I once gave up all pop, including diet, and it took me 3 months to detox my system. I lost 45 pounds in about a year, and I've never felt better. No pop ever again. Ever again. Love the show as always, Big Dave. Or not so Big Dave anymore, maybe. This is Jerry out in the burbs. Hey, Jerry, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. I was just wondering what's wrong with pop. Obviously, regular pop has sugar, and that's not good for you.
Right.
But so then you drink Diet Pop. And somebody told me that Diet Pop, the artificial sweetener, is not good for you. It could hurt your pancreas, maybe give you diabetes. I don't know what the truth is.
So I don't know what the truth is either, Jerry, I'll tell you that. But I know that I have read headlines, at least, and some stories, that a couple of things. With some of the sweeteners, there's been some concern over what kind of issues that could cause. I know that I want to say, and don't quote me on this, do your own research, but aspartame, which is not in most pops, I think, but was in some... cause cancer in laboratory rats. Now, whether that construes to us or not, we don't know. But there's some concern about the health issues. And because it's diet, we tend to drink more because we say, oh, it's zero calories. So, you know, I was up to 5 or 6 Diet Cokes a day. But one listener wrote me that you retain water because of all the sodium. I don't know if that's true. But I know I also read a study in the last year or two that said that when you drink diet soda, you're sort of tricking your body into thinking it was satisfied, but instead what your body is then craving is other sweets. And so you tend to have diet, but then eat more or drink or do other things instead of like, this has replaced these calories and now I'm being healthier. You're almost like causing your body to want other things or do other things. And so you might end up eating more than you would have otherwise, things like that.
What did you say about, did you say sodium in water?
In diet soda.
Oh.
Not in water. In diet soda.
Oh, because I said, you said drink a lot of water, you said, but all the sodium.
No,
okay.
I used to drink a lot of Diet Coke. One listener told me, texted us last week, and said the sodium Diet Pop makes you retain a lot of water. Like, within your body, you know, carry around water weight.
You mean Diet Pop has a lot of sodium in it?
That's what a listener told me last week, and I haven't had a chance to look at a can and think about that much. I don't know if it does or not.
I'll have to check that out. But
that's what somebody told me. I'll tell you what, Jerry. The thing is, I do, you know, I'm not saying, I don't know if I'll stick to this forever, but in the 11 days I haven't had a diet, I have noticed that having less of that sugar and that, you know, big caffeinated up, I don't like come down from it. I don't get like insanely tired all of a sudden. I like am more stable throughout the day, and working this weird overnight shift, like driving home, normally I'm dead tired by then. But last week I felt really good. Now I'll see how I feel tonight. But last week I felt a lot different than when I'm slugging Diet Coke here all night long.
Well, Diet Coke has a lot of caffeine in it.
Yes, they all do.
And when you come down from that, then you crash.
Yeah.
And you crave some food.
Yeah. So there you go.
If you drink a lot of Diet Pop and you don't eat anything, you'll get like a low blood sugar kind of thing.
Yeah. And by the way, you mentioned, oh, regular pop has sugar in it. I know that's bad. Regular pop doesn't have sugar in it for the most part. It has high fructose corn syrup, which is the sugar replacement, which I think they in general say isn't as healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
As regular
I know
sugar.
A lot of people who are healthy and they're healthy conscious, and they will avoid anything with high fructose corn syrup in it. They don't think it's good for you. Yeah. They will avoid it.
Yeah, I want to find when I'm
I've got the ingredients here for both diet and regular Coke.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. All right, Jerry, I'm going to let you listen in. Thanks so much for calling, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
All right, so regular Coke. Let's go with that first.
Yes.
12-ounce
can we're talking here?
One can, 12 ounces.
Okay, here we go.
No fat, 45 milligrams of sodium. That's 2% of your daily intake.
That doesn't sound too bad.
39 grams of total sugars, which are added.
It's a lot of sugar.
Well, actually, help me out here. So I'll read it as it is. Total carbohydrates, 39 grams. Total sugars, 39 grams, includes 39 added sugars. That's 78% of your daily value.
In one can, 78% of the sugars you should be having. That's a lot of sugar.
0% cholesterol, no protein, no vitamins, calcium, iron, or potassium. Here are the ingredients. Carbonated water, high fructose corn syrup, caramel color, phosphoric acid, natural flavors, and caffeine. It does not list how much caffeine.
It's interesting about the carbohydrates, because if people are avoiding carbs,
right,
you think of bread and things like that. I would not think, oh, a Coke has a lot of carbs in it.
Well, let's go to your Diet Coke.
Please do.
No fat.
Woohoo!
This is a 12-ounce can. Mm-hmm. Sodium, 40 milligrams.
And so what was it in the regular?
45.
So it's less sodium than a regular Coke.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem like a lot of sodium.
Nope.
Okay.
Total carbohydrates, 0 grams. Total sugar, 0. Cholesterol, 0. Protein, 0. 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. Ingredients, carbonated water, caramel color, aspartame, phosphoric acid, potassium benzoate to protect taste.
Yeah, that aspartame, I think, is what you just read. That's the one. It has a little warning.
It says, it does.
Like phenylalanine. This has been known to cause cancer in laboratory rats or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's bad when you're slugging six of those a day.
Exactly. And it contains... I always wanted to play a scientist. It contains phenylalanine. Now, I'm sorry, but any drink that contains something that looks like it can explode when added with something else, I'm not putting in my body.
Well, if you put a Mentos in, you know what happens.
Yeah, it fizzes up like crazy.
And then explodes.
Yeah.
I'm interested in finding, so I said I want to, once I start drinking soda again at my end of my 30s.
Now, what were you doing again? You were going to drink what? Dr. Pepper?
Dr. Pepper. But what I want to do is I want to find, because a lot of times, like in the stores, you'll get Coke from Mexico where they still make it with real sugar. I want to get Dr. Pepper with real sugar so I'm not having the high fructose corn syrup, but I don't know if that's very easy to do.
All right, let's see if this is the same. Well, that's UK. I don't want the UK.
UK.
Nutritional ingredients made by Coca-Cola, by the way.
630 says, I think Pop also has something in it, not the sugar, that's bad for tooth enamel.
Pizza man only drinks sprinkles. See here. Why am I getting the UK stuff?
Because you're so into those BBC shows.
I know.
That Google knows and thinks you're from London.
Nah.
I'm telling you, they keep an eye on you.
All right, here is Caffeine Informer. Let's try
608 this. Says we should go on the Wisconsin diet. Beer and Limburger cheese.
12-ounce can of Dr. Pepper has 41 milligrams of caffeine. Yikes.
Okay. Well, I don't know if that's a lot or not.
Well, let's see. On the scale that they have here, it's about they have like a horseshoe shape.
Okay.
And it's about 1/10 of the way up ish.
So it's not overly heavily caffeinated?
Nah.
It's no Red Bull, is what you're saying?
They're saying moderate.
Okay.
On the caffeine strength. Now, I'm still looking for the same kind of nutrition. Stupid advertising.
Listener says we should drink slush water. Place plastic bottles in the freezer till it turns into slush. So refreshing. Yeah.
What are
312 says diet pop makes me want to eat salty high carb snacks. I do that a lot too.
Now, are we doing regular or diet?
You keep looking. I'm going to take this call.
You go ahead.
And I do not do Diet Dr. Pepper. People, their whole advertising tastes as good as regular. No, it doesn't. It tastes god-awful. Diet Dr. Pepper blows. Apologies to anybody who likes it. Kurt is on the phone from Milwaukee. Hey, Kurt, how are you this morning?
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
What's going on?
You know, I tell you, it's I find it a society kind of a thing. You know, we always want to supplement, or we want to get off easy. And it seems like, you know, we go from the regular cooks and we go, oh, let's go to, or whatever you're having, to a diet form. Mm-hmm. Instead of actually looking at just getting rid of all forms.
But it tastes so and good. So
I know it does. And I have the same vice as you do. Don't get me wrong. I am no angel when it comes to this. But it's the same thing with, like, cigarettes. We think we're going to be better off with, like, an e-cigarette. And we find out that maybe there's stuff in there that we don't want in our system either. So I find that society-wise, we just end up coming by and looking for that easier fix instead of dealing with the actual issue that we need to be dealing with. And it almost seems like that also goes to our diets that we have. You know, we want to go for that quick pill instead of dealing with what we're eating and how much we're eating of it. And so I think we as a society are always looking for the easy fixes.
I think you've really hit on something when it comes to the diets, Kurt, because with the cigarettes and moving to the e-cigarettes, there's an addiction situation there that I think is very different than our food situation. I think once you get started with cigarettes, I can understand where that's a real tough habit to break and maybe move to the e-cigarettes or whatever because of your addiction issues with your body and cigarettes.
But I don't discount the addiction issue. I really don't. I think it's a true thing that's out there because we crave certain things that are maybe not good for us, and we seem to go towards excess instead of looking at limitations.
Well, Kurt, I think that's the interesting thing. When you talk about the food, and we're always looking for the easy way out. So the best thing to do ever, and listen, when Seattle Sutton ran ads here for years, I'm sure she still does, and I used to do some video work for them, and all she would say is, all you have to do is eat less and exercise. And they came up with this meal plan, so you're eating less and eating healthy, right? And that's the whole, this is your whole thing. This is how you should eat for the rest of your life. Smaller portions, not ginormous portions that we get in restaurants or that we get used to eating. And everybody, you know, all of us, what do? I'm going to go on a diet. What are you going to do? I'm going to do South Beach. I'm going to do keto is now the huge thing, right? There's all these diets that we do instead of just, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to eat less and I'm going to exercise more. And that will make me healthier. Instead, it's, no, if I cut out all the carbs, I can eat whatever I want. I can do this and that. And we're always looking for this easy way instead of a little bit of suffering is what we truly need. And, you know, I had a kickstart of getting sick last week. And so that had me, like, kind of detox my system for a couple days unintentionally. And then I tried to kick it off from there by just not going back to the pop. And now I'm trying to be healthier. But the only way for us to truly do this is to change our lifestyle a little bit. Not, oh, I'm just going to eat steak and eggs and no bread for a year. Because then once you go off any of those things, you just fall back into the same bad habits. We need to put less portion on our plate, be willing to take some home or wrap something up, not go up a second time, cut out the other things that are unhealthy, and just get our butts on the treadmill or outdoors more. And that's probably 80% of our problems.
It goes to the soda thing or pop thing also is, you know, you realize that the drinking of this type of beverage is something that is just not good for you for your weight or whatever reasons, yeah. Or you see the chemicals inside. And so we supplement and go, oh, I feel better because I had a diet instead. And yet here's my, you know, double quarter pounder, whatever, it's one of those things that I think we instead of just realizing that we need to change something, we supplement with something. And in essence, maybe it is better for us, but there are a lot of chemicals and a lot of studies on a lot of these supplements that are very disturbing and some that are not proven in many aspects. So.
Yeah.
Well, have a great weekend. Thank you for being out there. We appreciate you out on this shift.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kurt. We appreciate you listening. Stay tuned.
I've got the details of Dr. Pepper.
Let me read you this before we do that. 847 says, I found Diet Dr. Pepper to be a disappointment, but diet cherry flavored Dr. Pepper I found to be very refreshing and tasting rather good. I'm sure you've probably tried it, and we have each our own individual likes and dislikes, but I sure think it's pretty darn good. I have not tried the diet cherry Dr. Pepper.
I've only tried regular.
It was very good. It's interesting because people would say that Dr. Pepper's sort of a cherry flavored soda. So a cherry flavored Dr. Pepper, that's interesting.
No, you can tell a distinct difference.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just going to try to avoid it. I just would rather treat myself once or twice a week to an 8-ounce Dr. Pepper, which I just love. I love Dr. Pepper. And that's what I'm going to try to do once I end my 30-day diet.
So we've got no fat, no cholesterol.
Now, what are we talking about?
This is a regular 12-ounce Dr. Pepper.
Okay, no fat, no cholesterol.
Right, 150 calories.
Which is the same as the Coke, I think,
I believe so, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 55 milligrams of sodium, so there's more salt in it.
That's a lot more than the Coke had.
Yeah.
They were only around 41, I think.
Right, 40, 45.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Carbs, 40 grams, and that is all sugars, 40 grams of sugar, which is 13% of your daily intake.
So that's 1 gram more than Coke has.
Mm-hmm. That is what it is. And again, it's based on a 2,000-calorie diet.
Yeah. 815 says, part of the problem is that you can get an order of fries for $1, but a fruit cup at Jewel is $4. That's a good point. A lot of times the unhealthy food is a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
And that does
Well, because they know, I think they know they got you because you're trying to eat healthier. And so you'll pay the price in order to eat healthier. I'm just saying.
That's interesting. Well, I also think fruit and cut up fruit takes time. It's more expensive than a french fry.
Right.
McDonald's gets those things for pennies, right?
Yeah, the french fries already come cut and in a bag. All you could do is toss them in the basket and put them in the oil.
Fryer.
Yeah, I remember the day when they came as whole potatoes.
Head to the McDonald's?
Yep.
They used to cut them fresh?
They would come in potato sacks, and we had a special peeler. So you'd take the potatoes, you'd throw them in the peeler, but you'd have to operate the peeler by hand. You close the top, and you just start turning the handle.
Yeah.
And you keep turning it, and eventually the potatoes are peeled.
Right.
Then they would fall into the washer tub.
Okay.
And then you would have to take them out, let them dry. Then you'd put them in the cutter. You would have to cut them by hand.
Is this you, a teenager, working at a McDonald's?
Yep. That's the fry station. You would then cut them by hand, and then they would have to wash again, and then they would sit in the baskets in the back. There was a wheeled basket holder. You could have maybe 20, 30 baskets up there drying.
Ready to go, huh?
Right. And then once you needed them, this would be all prep in the morning. Obviously, to get ready for lunch hour. And then you just start popping them into the fryer.
So the cutter, was that where you put it on top and then you'd press down and it would be forced through a thing?
Yeah.
Which is what they have at Gene and Jude's.
Oh, really?
Have
they do them like that there?
Have you been for a hot dog at Gene and Jude's?
No, I have not been.
All right.
I'm sorry.
You need to get out to Franklin Park, Schiller Park? I'm not sure what town it's technically in. Right over by the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Gene and Jude's. Probably the best hot dog in Chicago, and they just take the potatoes, put them on that thing, shove it through, right into the basket, into the fryer, and then they lay them on top of the hot dog when they wrap them up.
Yeah, that's the way we used to do it.
And that stuff's good.
Well, with the fries and the hamburgers, but separate. But
708.
What do they say?
708 just threw a Molotov cocktail at me.
Uh-oh.
And I am going to take them down.
Oh.
They write, Dr. Pepper, where have you been? Pib Extra. Now, let me tell you something. You can take your Pib Extra.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I go into a restaurant and I say, do you have Dr. Pepper? And they say, we have Mr. Pib.
Right.
I've actually done this and embarrassed my family. I said, what does that have to do with anything? Mr. Pib is not Dr. Pepper. It doesn't taste like it. It's ridiculous and bad. Why would you say, oh, we have Mr. Pib? I didn't want Mr. Pibb, and who would want a Mr. Pibb? And I get very kind of, and then my whole family looks at me like, oh my God, they're going to spit in our food.
Yep. And you do know why some places carry certain drinks and some places carry different ones.
Contractually, I imagine.
It's contractual. It's for whoever is the supplier. It's either Pepsi or Coke. Now, I will tell you this, because I just saw it as I was looking things up. Coke tried to buy Dr. Pepper when it was starting to go bad as far as a business. And
do they own Dr. Pepper now?
They do now own it.
Was their own?
They do own it now. But here's the deal:
is it just
when they weren't allowed to buy it, they came out with Mr. Pibb. So now they carry Coke. He now manufactures both Mr. Pibb and Dr. Pepper.
It's interesting. I was looking up actual sugar Dr. Pepper the other day, and they talked about. There's a town in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it's a famous name, but not for Texas.
Not like the Alamo or
No. It's like Genesee or a name that like you'd know the word, but you wouldn't associate it with Texas.
Oh. Okay.
Not Galena, but something like that. Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And because there was a bottler, because Dr. Pepper used to be like independently bottled. And they would all mix
it
themselves.
Well, there were bottling plants all across
the
country.
But they were kind of independent.
All right.
At least in Texas or something. And there was one that didn't switch to high fructose corn syrup. They always made it with
real sugar.
With real sugar.
Right.
And they have finally stopped. They've been stopped. I was kind of reading about it on Wikipedia.
Oh, okay.
But there is a sugar-free, not sugar. There is a real sugar Dr. Pepper. And I was looking online, but it was like, for a 12-pack, it was like $18. I'm like, well, I'm not going to do something stupid like that. I got to find it at the Jewel.
Yeah.
If I find it at the Jewel, then I'll buy it. But I'll buy, like, Anna loves Fanta Orange. And and she got hooked on it when we were in Mexico together because they you know, restock your fridge every day. We go to an all-inclusive, so all this good stuff in there. And so the kids are, like, you know, going crazy, and Anna's drinking the orange. But it's like Mexican Fanta Orange, which I believe is with, but you see it in the stores. I see it in Jewel, like in bottles or a Mexican restaurant by our house. So I always buy her a little bottle, the old, you know, bottles we had when we were kids, 12-ounce bottle of Fanta Orange. So I want to find Dr. Pepper like that. I want to find it with real sugar.
Well, Dr. Pepper in the bottles or with real sugar.
I want to find it with real sugar.
I gotcha. Okay.
That's the goal. All right, we got to take a break, and we've got news coming up here, 720 WGN. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Battish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. 708 writes, Mr. Pibb comes in 8-ounce can, so there! 815 says, Dr. Pepper 7-Up is in Plano, Texas. 847 sent us a really funny picture, wrote, hope you can see the pic attached, think you'll get a kick out of it. So it's a lineup of all the Dr. Pepper ripoffs. There's Mr. Pibb. There's Dr., I can't read, looks like Shasta, but I don't know if that's the name, Dr. Pepper. There's one I can't, Dr. K, Dr. Thunder, Dr. W, and I think something called Dr. Bob.
Paging Dr. Bob.
And those just must be the, you know, the ripoffs from around the country.
Actually, Pibb, Mr. Pibb, was originally put out as, from what I was reading, Dr. Pibb. And they got sued.
That's what I thought it was called, Dr.
Right.
Pibb, too.
And they had to change to... something else, and they
lost
got sued
their degree,
again.
Lost their degree.
Right.
Became Mr.
And, right.
Impersonating a doctor. Suckers. Gary and Bill, hold on. Let us do the news, and then we'll get right to you after we do this. Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. You heard the tone. It's 4 in the morning. Here's your news with Roger Battish. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN. We got an hour left, everybody, and then Orion Samuelson will check in with the morning show. Mike Stevens here with Outside the Loop, and Sweet Lou Manfredini. We'll get your weekend off to a good start here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We got some calls that are piling up here, so let's get to them. Gary is in Hoffman Estates. Hey, Gary, how are you this morning?
Well, I'm awake, but I'm really trying to figure out the message that you are trying to convey, both of you guys. Oh, by the way, Happy New Year,
Matt
and Robert.
You too.
Yeah,
sir.
Happy New Year.
But yeah, thank you. But I can't figure out where's the problem? Are you trying to figure out to get a sugar high or a caffeine high or lose weight or you know, like the taste and all of this stuff? I'm losing it all over there, and I got my own situation that I'd like to get, but I don't know where you're going.
Well, I don't know where I'm going either. I guess I was just updating everybody that I've been off Diet Coke for 11 days now. I got sick over Christmas. For like 3 days, I was really deathly ill, and because of that, I didn't have Diet Coke for a while, and I thought, you know what? Since I basically just detoxed my entire body, I'm going to try to quit drinking Diet Coke for 30 days and see how I do, and just over the last, I'm now on day 11, just talking about how different I've felt, and listeners last week that were texting that you'll lose a lot of weight and how, why you should stay off of it, and so we're just in general talking about sodas and diet sodas and what they have in them, what they don't, and what you feel like from drinking them.
Yeah, right. I've heard, I listened to all of that. But personally, I always had a problem of an afternoon drowsy.
Sure.
And ever since I was a child, I can't remember when it wasn't, but back then I didn't really know what the problem was. And later in life, I just started drinking coffee and just to get the caffeine to keep me up. And I would have a cup of coffee in my hand every waking hour, and it never bothered my sleep, but it helped me to stay, to get away from those afternoon drowsies all the time. And after about 20 years of doing this, it started to get very inconvenient, because where do you get a hot cup of coffee when you need it? You never know where you're going to be. Because I used to stop at McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts, anywhere, and I'd buy two. And just in case I ran out, but cold coffee wasn't my thing. So I just said, well, what else is going to get me away from these afternoon drowsies? I figured, well, maybe I'll go into the sugar thing. Because people, especially, it said that this sugar, you get a sugar high. So it'll keep you awake. So I switched from coffee to Mountain Dew.
Okay.
Now, I had just had all of my teeth done and everything, and about 3 years later, my teeth started to fall out of my mouth. And I'd wake up, and there would be, like, dust in my mouth, and it was my teeth turning to granules. So I realized that was not... Certainly, caffeine was one thing, sugar was another.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to figure out, when you guys were talking about diet, like Diet Coke, there's no sugar in there. What were you getting out of it? Because I honestly, it was like thousands and thousands of dollars to get my teeth fixed. Because I switched from coffee to Mountain Dew.
Well, what do you do now?
What do you get out of diet if there's no sugar?
There's caffeine. There's lots of caffeine. And when you were drinking Mountain Dew, not only were you getting the sugar, but Mountain Dew has more caffeine, I think, than any other soda.
Yeah, I believe it does.
This has been a while.
Sure. So I'm probably
talking about over 10 years ago, and I probably realized it then. I just needed something to keep me from getting those afternoon drowsies.
So with Diet Pop, you have caffeine, but it still tastes sweet. It's just without calories because it's using an artificial sweetener. But, that comes with its own issues. So let me ask you, Gary, what do you do now? How do you avoid the drowsies now? Did you quit Mountain Dew then after your teeth were falling apart?
I didn't even know it was that. I didn't even know it until, after the, a few dental appointments and the oral surgeon.
So what are you addicted to now?
I really don't. I mean, basically, I always walk around with a bottle of Gatorade, so far that's been okay, but I've been doing that for, about 5 years now, but I still get the afternoon drowsies. It's not helping me with the drowsies, but now I'm addicted to Gatorade. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think there's that much sugar in it. And I even asked my doctor. I says, Gatorade is great for you don't get dehydrated and everything. He says, well, if you're not an athlete and you're sweating a lot, just plain water is just as good as Gatorade.
Yeah.
Well, I'm too old to be an athlete now. You guys were just confusing me because you seem to be going from one end of the spectrum to the other. But right now, if I get the afternoon drowsies, I'm retired. I lay down. I take a nap.
There you go. That's what we ought to do, Gary, is we probably ought to change the world a little bit. So the afternoon drowsies are okay. It's called a siesta. They do it in Spain, right? We just take a little 30-minute nap. Boom. Done.
Oh, yeah. I've been down in Mexico a few times, and you cannot, I mean, if you needed to buy, they close the stores down there.
That's the way to live.
For like 2-3 hours, you know, at lunchtime, everything's closed. You can't get on a cruise or you can't do anything. Everybody's just, you know, there's a signs in the window.
Yeah.
And they just say, unless it's a really tourist place.
Sure.
But, I mean, if you go in the smaller towns, that they all do that.
You know,
but
it's not
think,
just...
Well, what's wrong with that? But when you're living in the United States in the Chicago area...
Yeah.
You can't do that. They don't, you know, there's no rules for that.
We got to get everybody on board. Thank you so much for the call, Gary. You have a great week. We got to get everybody on board. Afternoon nap. 3 to 4 o'clock.
I do mine mid-morning. I get up. I have my breakfast. I do all my social media stuff. I take my nap. Take maybe an hour and a half nap. I get up. I have my double espresso.
Jesus.
And I'm ready for the day.
I'm sure you are.
But, you know, that siesta thing is not just in Mexico. There are parts of Europe that do that, too.
Yeah.
The stores close midday.
We need to do that. All right, 312-981-7200. Bill, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, you got to talk about Diet Dr. Pepper and Diet Coke and Coke.
Sure.
You know, I'm probably as old as the guy what you're talking to, but Dr. Pepper, years ago on the bottles in the 50s, it had a clock on the front of it. And it had numbers 2, 6, and 10.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to drink Dr. Pepper every 4 hours because it was originally a tonic to keep your digestive system working.
Really?
Because it was actually made of prune juice.
Really?
That's what it was made from originally.
Are you sure?
Prune juice.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that's what I was always told. It would have prune juice.
Well,
to keep you regulated.
The company now disputes that. That they do
have
proof.
Yeah, well, because that's because Coke bought it and took it over. But yeah, it used to be, that's what I've heard years ago. That's what I read was prune juice. And Coca-Cola, have you ever been to the Coke plant in Atlanta?
No, the museum, the factory?
Like
the World of Coca-Cola?
Right.
You go
down there and they got a place where you can go through and taste every Coke product made in the world. And Coke does not taste the same everywhere. Coke is different even in Canada.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, they eat in Egypt. It's got a real heavy anise taste to it.
So they,
if you know what anise is like,
it's sort of like a black licorice-y, is it?
Right, sort of like a licorice taste. I mean, you go down there, and they got an area when you go through the museum that you can taste the Coke made in everywhere in the world.
So they changed the formulas based on the location and what people
like. Because Coke in Mexico is different tasting.
Yeah,
but then you mentioned Fanta.
It tastes pretty similar, though, the Coke in Mexico.
Yeah, it's close enough, but it's got a little bit different taste to it. Yeah. And Coke can also be different in the United States, depending where you buy it, too. Because if you go to, especially in northern Indiana, if you buy the Cokes there, it has more of a ginger taste than if you go buy a Coke in Indianapolis, where they got a bottling plant there. Coke is not the same all over the United States. It's not the same taste all over.
That's interesting.
Because it depends on where it's bottled and who does it and what their formula is. But, you know, Coke originally, when it first started, was a over-the-pharmacy drink.
Well, it used to, I mean, originally had cocaine in it, right?
Right. That's how I got a Coke.
Yeah.
Right.
Crazy.
It was really a tonic. You can only buy it over the counter. Cause, you know, because I don't know if you remember, you probably don't remember, but I remember, I don't know who the news guy is with you right now. Is that Swanee?
Sure. Roger.
Roger. Okay.
Yeah.
Teams. Okay. Not Teams.
not Roger Treves.
That's the first
Roger
name.
Roger Batty.
Sure. Yeah, Roger Batty. Well, I don't know. He's not, I don't know how old he is for sure, but does he remember
like
when?
In his 30s.
Anyway, when I was back. See, I'm 79 when I was back in a kid. The drugstores, you could only buy, like, a stuff like an Alka-Seltzer or a Bromo-Seltzer only over the counter. It was served that way. you know, you'd hear people go in and they'd say, I don't know if you ever remember the radio commercial where they got the Roma saucer, where the guy sounded like a train when he's talking the thing.
I don't.
Well, that was sold strictly over the counter. You had to go in and you had to buy it because the people would stop and say, I got an upset stomach. Let me stop and get a glass of Roma saucer. They'd serve it at the fountain. They didn't sell it over the counter. You couldn't buy it off the shelf.
That's fascinating. Bill, thank you so much for the call. I really do appreciate it. You have a wonderful weekend. One more quick call to get in here. Is it Ono? Ono in Vernon Hills?
Arno. Yeah, this is Arno. Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey. All right. You were talking on the radio station. You're talking about that Dr. Pepper and Mr. Pibbs was owned by Coca-Cola, and that's actually not correct. Actually, Dr. Pepper is part of the Dr. Pepper Snapple Group, and it actually Keurig Mountain Group acquired Dr. Pepper back in July of this year. So I wanted to give you that tidbit, and then you had mentioned about that you said you didn't like Diet Dr. Pepper, and I would probably disagree with that. I think Diet Dr. Pepper actually does taste like regular Dr. Pepper.
Well, everybody has their own opinion, so I understand that. However, I am going to very much disagree with you. I do not believe that it tastes anything like regular Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my opinion. I can understand you have yours as well.
Yeah. And then also, you know, I know one of the prior callers, you were talking about, you know, different with colas and all that. I know years ago, I was drinking quite a bit of Diet Mountain Dew, and one of the gals at work had told me, you need to stop, you know, drinking that stuff, because I was trying to lose weight at the time. And I remember when I went and quit that cold turkey, I would tell you, I felt so much better because I tended to get a lot of migraines. And I found that when I quit drinking that Dr. Pepper, Diet Mountain Dew, it would relieve the amount of migraines that I would get during the day. Mm. So obviously, I think that was from the caffeine that was in that cola.
No kidding. Yeah, that's fascinating. Thank you so much, Arno. You have a great weekend. I really appreciate the call. 312-981-7200. Let me see if we can figure out this a little
bit. All right. Let me give you the prune juice first.
Okay.
Because I saw this before he called. I read up on it. And let's even take it to Snopes. So it does not contain any prune juice.
Did it ever?
Never.
So it was one of those wives' tales?
Never. It was one of those old wives' tales. Now, the company even puts out the statement on their site. There are 23 flavors and other ingredients, parentheses, none of which are prunes, that produce the taste of Dr. Pepper. They also then put in the fact page that, quote, Dr. Pepper's unique blend of natural and artificial flavors. It does not contain prune juice because, according to the labeling laws of the United States, if it does contain prune juice, they have to list it as an ingredient.
Sure.
So it is not.
Well, I think he was saying it originally did.
No, it did not.
Okay, I'm just saying it doesn't say it now, of course, but he wasn't saying it carries it now, but that it did. At the
I know.
Time. But it sounds like that was an old wives' tale.
Old wives' tale. There's a lot more background to it, but you know, we won't get into all
sure.
that.
Sure. And another listener mentioned we're wrong about the Coca-Cola owning. So the ownership of Dr. Pepper's, so it was the Dr. Pepper Snapple Group, and now it's owned by Keurig, who owns, you know, the Keurig, the K-Cup, the coffee make.
Right.
Coffee maker.
Keurig.
It's
right.
Keurig Dr. Pepper is the name of the company now. It says in the United States, Keurig Dr. Pepper does not have a complete network of bottlers and distributors.
Mm-hmm.
So the drink is sometimes bottled under contract by Coca-Cola
exactly.
or Pepsi bottlers.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to the initial Cadbury Schweppes investment turned buyout, 30% of Dr. Pepper's 7-Up products were produced and distributed by Pepsi bottlers and another 30% by Coca-Cola bottlers. The remaining 40% were produced and distributed by independent bottlers, mainly consisting of Dr. Pepper 7-Up pre-merger regional bottlers. And the Dr. Pepper 7-Up Bottling Group, currently the majority of Pepsi and Coke bottlers bottling Dr. Pepper, are owned by PepsiCo and the Coca-Cola Company after their buyouts of their major bottlers. Presently, Dr. Pepper Snapple relies on its own bottling group to bottle and distribute its products in more than 30 states. Coca-Cola and Pepsi have essentially stopped bottling and distributing Cadbury Schweppes products in favor of in-house alternatives, although regional exceptions can be found. In Canada and Poland, Cadbury Schweppes has licensed distribution rights to PepsiCo, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Dr. Pepper has been sold in Japan since 1973 and is widely available in Greater Tokyo, Okinawa, and parts of the Tokai region, where it is distributed by Coca-Cola bottlers, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, so they went through a tough time, as I mentioned before, financially, mm-hmm. and they merged with Dr. Pepper and 7-Up by the Philip Morris Company. And then the Coke merger failed. Pepper and 7-Up merged. And it was called DPSU, Dr. Pepper 7-Up. And giving up international branding rights. After the merger, Coke obtained most non-U.S. rights to the Dr. Pepper name, with PepsiCo taking the 7-Up rights for the non-U.S. rights. And then they went into antitrust fights and stuff. So it's a storied past, to say the least. So, but yeah, so Keurig, that's the group that has it now. Yeah.
Let me tell you about this. So Heritage, so this is according to Wikipedia, Heritage Dr. Pepper, or Dr. Pepper Heritage, began in 2009, became available around November 2009 in various outlets around the United States. As its name implies, it was a re-release of sorts of Dr. Pepper's original formula, which uses sugar instead of high fructose corn syrup, which Dr. Pepper and other brands of soft drinks started to use around the early 70s. The formula of Heritage Dr. Pepper and Dublin Dr. Pepper are assumed to be one and the same. Dublin, Texas, is the bottler who didn't switch to high fructose corn syrup. But I think they finally forced that person out. Heritage Dr. Pepper is a larger scale national release aimed at capturing the same marketing essence as the Pepsi and Mountain Dew throwbacks. So I got to see if I can find Heritage Dr. Pepper. That's what I want to try. A handful of United States bottling plants still use sugar to sweeten Dr. Pepper. The Dr. Pepper bottling plant in Dublin, Texas, used to produce such a beverage known as Dublin Dr. Pepper. In the 1980s, plant owner W.P. Bill Kloster refused to convert the plant to high fructose corn syrup. Other bottlers still using sugar include Temple Bottling Company in Temple, Texas, Abtex in Abilene, and West Jefferson Dr. Pepper in West Jefferson, North Carolina. I don't know if, as of January 2012, the bottling plant in Dublin, Texas is no longer bottling Dr. Pepper. So I don't know. I don't know if I can get the sugar for the.
And here's something else I have, and I'm sure the caller had some basis for this, but national brands in the U.S., national brands, their success is based on conformity. You go to a McDonald's in some city in Maine, it's the same as going, you get the same food as a McDonald's in Portland, Oregon. You know, the consumer knows that when they go into a McDonald's, they go into a Burger King, they go into any of these national brands, they are getting the same food they expect to get. Now, each one is run by a franchise. Will there be problems from time to time? Sure. Coke, Pepsi, all national brands, Fanta, national brand, all of these, you expect to pick up a bottle or a can anywhere in the U.S., and it tastes the same. Independent bottlers do bottle the drink in various regions. They have a contract.
But it needs to be the same formula.
But it's the same formula. Coke would never allow an independent bottler to change the formula for a certain region.
I would agree. I'd be very surprised. I would assume that listener was mistaken about Coke being produced differently, even within the United States, maybe in other countries.
Yeah, in other countries,
within the United States,
yes.
I have trouble believing that. I think it tastes different often, depending on where you get it, because they're mixing it, because they're, you know, they have the fountain drink and they're mixing the carbonated water with the syrup.
Now, there's a big difference.
If they don't do that right from McDonald's to McDonald's, it can all taste very different. One last quick call here before we get to the news. Steve's in Galesburg. Hey, Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good. I was just curious. I used to work at the only place I live in Galesburg, Hooterville, and I worked at the, in high school, I worked at a place, we sold the only Chicago dog and Crane potato chips at RC, because the owner was originally from Chicago. Mm-hmm. But Diet Right Cola, does it still exist? Because it was involved in that big saccharin scare in the 70s.
Diet Right. Well, was Diet Right, Diet Right the diet
that was
version?
RC's diet.
That was Royal Crown's diet. Diet.
Yes. Diet Right is part of the Dr. Pepper Snapple group.
Mm. Oh.
So and it is still manufactured.
Is Royal Crown part of that group, too?
Let me look it up. I loved Royal Crown.
I grew up on RC Cola because they served it at Arnie's Hot Dogs.
Oh, really?
Yes, they did.
Royal Crown Cola is still available. Started in 1905. It is still available. Let me double check. It is also part of the Keurig Dr. Pepper group in the U.S. only.
Interesting. All right, Steve, thank
you. Don't let Steve go for a second, because I know you got to run. But Galesburg? Right, Steve?
Yes, he's in Galesburg.
Because that's where my wife is from. We've been to Galesburg.
I live for all the time,
We get back there at least once a year. It's a great little town.
The name of the shop I worked at was Underdogs, but Coney Island still exists.
Coney Island, I remember it. I've been in there often, yes. Right across from where
you still frequently talk about Knox College.
Yep. And right across from Coney Island, at least the last time I remember, there was a model train supply store across the street. Is that still there?
No, actually, it moved down to Seminary Street. Now it's no longer in business.
Oh, gosh. That was a great little place.
Yeah, Ray's Hobby Shop.
Yep.
Have a great weekend, Steve. Thank you so much for calling in.
Too.
We appreciate it. All right, Steve. And I'll end it with this. 708 says, we should all stop drinking pop altogether and just go back to drinking out of the hose. I'm 58 years old and I'm fine.
Love drinking out of the hose.
Absolutely, in the summertime. All right, news is next, 720 WGN. Yeah, find a way to bring myself back. We hope you bring yourself back to us every weekend at 1 a.m. Saturday mornings, Matt Bubala Show. You can follow us on Facebook at The Matt Bubala Show, on Twitter at Matt Bubala, on Instagram at Matt Bubala, and blah, 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 blah. 773, Roger, you're right. The formula should be the same as should recipes at fast food places. But after several years, I am sure that the Popeyes on Addison and Western is using different spices than the Popeyes at Irving Park Road in Ashland. The Addison chicken is saltier than the Irving chicken.
Ooh.
My mother and I have tasted the difference, so we always go to Irving. Thank you very much.
And I'll tell you, it never hurts to let the franchisee know this, because if it's the same... Well, run by the same owners, then they should know that things aren't being run
right. It's not. Yeah. 773 says, as a kid in 1965, I worked at Miller's Pharmacy in Oak Park, Illinois. One of my duties was to fill small bottles with the Coke syrup from the tap at the counter. This syrup, called Coke syrup, was sold as an aid for diarrhea. Tim from the Northwest Side. Thank
and
you,
now
Tim.
You know.
And that's the rest of the story. 412 says, I've been to that world of Coke. Mexico has the best tasting soda. 608 says, in Sycamore, we have a Hy-Vee grocery store. They have a store brand called Dr. 38. Not bad, but tastes nothing like Dr. Pepper. Also, my wife and I are convinced Coke and Diet Coke taste completely different at McDonald's. There is a theory about Coke and Diet Coke at McDonald's that's interesting. And I can't remember if I read it or heard it or what, but that because the McDonald's straw has a big opening. It's kind of a wide mouth straw when you get a Coke from McDonald's.
Real? Oh, one of the wider ones.
The straw is bigger than like what
at
home.
Yeah.
Or what you get in restaurants mostly. And there's a theory that that makes the taste different in some way, shape, or form. I don't know how that would be.
More air?
More air or something. But I've had people that have long said that the best Coke is at McDonald's. And I think that can be true, but it can also be very wrong. The McDonald's down here, the Rock and Roll McDonald's, does not mix their Diet Coke correctly at all.
Ooh.
It always tastes awful. I always order it. I'm always disappointed.
Mm.
630 says, Matt, Gene and Jude's is actually in River Grove.
Okay.
You should stop on the way next week to pick up some for the staff. Next time you pick up your Christmas tree in Hanover Park, stop at the Nana's Hot Dog Stand just west of Barrington Road on Irving Park Road. I actually have been there, and it is really good. They also have the whole cut potatoes for their fries. Safe on the ride home, Streamwood Steve. Thank you, Streamwood Steve. I feel like Nana's is actually a sort of copycat of Gene and Jude's. That's my assumption when I'm in there. They tried to redo Gene and Jude's, and it is very good. Mm. It is very good. And then 209 says, Matt, you dope. Dr. Pepper is also bottled in Munster. Thank you very much. I don't know why I got the dope for that. I know there's a Pepsi bottling plant in Munster. I don't remember ever seeing Dr. Pepper there, but thank you. I don't know that I'm a dope just because I didn't know that.
Are you sure he didn't mean dope?
No, he said you dope.
Oh, okay. That's just...
Oh, we got a call here from Jason on 720 WGN. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, good morning, Matt. How are you?
We're great. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I was listening to your conversation as I was driving into my work, to my job at Coca-Cola in Elstif.
Oh, here we go, right from the horse's mouth.
I'll wait till I get in the truck.
Yeah, excellent.
Then I'll give him a call.
Okay.
So here's the deal with the Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper is its own entity that joined up forces with 7-Up. We do have the right to distribute Dr. Pepper, but the only place that I ever distribute it to is to the Dunkin' Donuts warehouse. Like, this morning, I'm heading out to Peru and Ottawa and all that. Mm-hmm. I don't have any Dr. Pepper on my truck. The only place that I've ever brought Dr. Pepper to is to the warehouse in Dunkin' Donuts in Mokina. That's
really?
It.
That's interesting.
So we do have the right to distribute it. And I'll tell you another thing. It goes bad real quick, and we don't sell enough of it, but we get enough of it in that, like, a month before it goes through its expiration, they put it out for us to take.
Really?
So we get, 20-ounce, 24-packs, take one home kind of thing. So, and then the other thing I want to talk about was McDonald's.
Yes.
The reason why McDonald's Coke tastes different than everybody else is because they store their corn syrup in stainless steel containers. And they actually own the rights to do that. Nobody else does that. They all come in a bag in a box with a plastic bag.
Right.
McDonald's stores theirs in stainless steel drums, and that's what deciphers the different tastes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And so why does that make it a different taste?
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Have you ever had a Coke out of a can?
Yes.
Versus out of a 20-ounce bottle?
Yes.
Out of a can, it's a little more acidity. You ever notice that?
I don't know that I have.
It's
that's
got that extra little bite to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the stainless steel that it's stored in, and it's also stored at 34 degrees as well.
That's interesting.
It's refrigerated inside those steel drums.
All right, thank you.
So that's what makes the difference in the taste.
And there is one to grow on. Thank you very much, Jason. I really appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Drive safe, okay?
All right. Thank you. You too.
Thanks, man. All right, we've got Ron in Michigan. Ron, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Matt. Matt, I got to tell you this story about Pop, Canfield Pop.
Okay.
Remember you don't remember, but the great snowstorm, I think it was a 64, when everything was shut down in Chicago.
I thought it was like
all the
60,
trucks,
67,
68
I think, yeah.
or
67.
67, okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Whatever, but everything was shut down. All trucks were stopped where they stopped in the snow. But anyway, there was a Canfield pop truck. It was delivering behind, the Polish Club in Logan Square. And it was behind the boys' club. And so at night, I went out wandering around. No vehicles were moving. And I saw the truck. And it was loaded with Canfield Pop.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all glass bottles then. And all those bottles would have froze up and burst. But I started I started taking it out of the truck. And there was somebody on the other side of the truck. So I started lobbing bottles like hand grenades over the truck. To find out who it was my buddy Frankie. So I said, Frankie, let's empty this truck. So I got the sled because I lived across the street. We emptied out almost all the pop from that truck, put it on the back porch so it wouldn't freeze, and we had pop like all summer long. And we did those guys a favor because all those bottles would have burst in that truck, and it would have been a mess to clean up. But we had pop forever. For over the whole summer.
So if the police would have come to arrest you, you would have said, we were doing them a favor, officer. That would have been a big mess.
We would have split it. We would have split it with the cops. Come on. The Logan Square Station was not just... No vehicles were moving, though. Nothing.
I think you're in the clear. I think enough time has passed.
I don't know. Is the statute of limitations passed on that one, think?
I think so. I think you're in the clear.
I still have some bottles for deposit.
Enjoy your newfound freedom. Yeah, you're in Michigan now, so you got to hand those in. Thanks so much for calling, Ron. Have a great weekend. Mike is in Orland Park. Hey, Mike, you're on 720.
Hey, man, real quick. You know, your notice in different tastes in different facilities as far as your pop has to do with the syrup content. In the old days, they used to come in tanks. Now they come in basically big bags and boxes. They're plastic bags, but they hook up to a system that you need CO2 tanks attached to it. That's what makes it carbonated. And a lot of companies, they scale back on their syrup content so they can taste bland or even more carbonated than they do flavorful, and they do it to save money. So some places you'll get a great flavor because the syrup content is where it's supposed to be. Other places they lean back on the syrup, and you can actually notice it when it's dispensing, when it looks more white or clear than it does colorful. You can just taste a difference in a lot of places. That's why they like to save money. They like to get, you know, as money as many.
All right, coming up, the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Roger Badish on 720 WGN. We're going to take one last break. We're going to say hi to our friend Orion Samuelson, see what's coming up on his show. That's next, 720 WGN.